Hello, everybody. We are live here tonight. Good evening. You're watching America First. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. We are watching the Democratic debate right now live on CNN. And I guess we'll just dive right into it. I'll unmute the stream here so we can begin watching. Not really much to say other than let's get right into it.
Invade Iraq. I got up on the floor of the House and I said that would be a disaster. It would lead to unprecedented.
And let me know about the audio levels. Let me know if the audio levels are okay or not.
And I not only voted against the war, I helped lead the effort against that war. Just last year, I helped, for the first time in the modern history of this country, pass a War Powers Act resolution, working with a conservative Republican, Mike Lee of Utah, which said that the war in Yemen, led by Saudi Arabia, was unconstitutional because Congress had not authorized it. We got a majority vote in the Senate. We got a majority vote in the House. Unfortunately, Bush vetoed that, and that horrific war continues. I am able to work with Republicans. I am able to bring people together to try to create a world where we solve conflicts over the negotiating table, not through military efforts.
Vice President Biden, you talk a lot about your experience, but some of your competitors have taken issue with that experience, questioning your judgment in voting to authorize the Iraq war. Why are you the best prepared person on this stage to be commander-in-chief?
I said 13 years ago it was a mistake to give the president the authority to go to war if, in fact, he couldn't get inspectors into Iraq to stop what thought to be the attempt to get a nuclear weapon. It was a mistake, and I acknowledge that. But right out, the man who also argued against that war, Barack Obama, picked me to be his vice president. And once we were elected president, he turned to me and asked me to end that war. I know what it's like to send a son or daughter, like our colleague has gone to war in Afghanistan, my son for a year in Iraq. And that's why I do it very, very reluctantly. That's why I led the effort, as you know, Wolf, against surging tens of thousands of troops into Afghanistan. We should not send anyone anywhere unless the overwhelming vital interests of the United States are at stake. They were not at stake there. They were not at stake in Iraq. And it was a mistaken vote. But I think my record overall on everything we've done has been, I'm prepared to compare it to anybody's on this stage.
Senator Sanders, you have been attacking Vice President Biden's vote on the Iraq war, but you recently acknowledged that your vote to authorize the war in Afghanistan was also a mistake. So you both acknowledged mistakes. Why should the American people trust your judgment more?
Well, it's a little bit of a difference. On that particular vote, every single member of the House, including myself, voted for it. Only Barbara Lee voted against it. But what I understood from right away in terms of the war in Iraq, the difference here is that the war in Iraq turned out to be the worst foreign policy blunder in the modern history of this country. As Joe well knows, we lost 4,500 brave troops. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis died. We have spent trillions of dollars on that endless war, money which should go into health care and education and infrastructure in this country. Joe and I listened to what Dick Cheney and George Bush and Rumsfeld had to say. I thought they were lying. I didn't believe them for a moment. I took to the floor. I did everything I could to prevent that war. Joe saw it differently.
Vice President Biden.
I was asked to bring 156,000 troops home from that war, which I did. I led that effort. It was a mistake to trust that they weren't going to go to war. They said they were not going to go to war. They said they were just going to get inspectors in. The world, in fact, voted to send inspectors in, and they still went to war. From that point on, I was in the position of making the case that it was a big, big mistake. And from that point on, I moved to bring those troops home.
Senator Klobuchar, you've publicly questioned Mayor Buttigieg's experience when it comes to being commander-in-chief.
I like how they're already pitting everybody against each other. This
more
is good
valuable
stuff already.
His time as a U.S. Naval Intelligence
Let's
Officer.
See, we've got Cosmic Craft. Thanks for the Ninjet Man. Really appreciate that.
Thank you, Wolf. And
no message,
I've been very clear that I respect
Big Money Wagey with the
Ninjagini.
Thanks for the
in the
grape
military.
Emoji.
I just have different
Can we not do that, please?
I've been in the U.S. Senate for over 12 years. And I think what you want in a president is someone who has dealt with these life and death issues and who has made decisions, I will look at my position on the Iraq war first. I wasn't in the Senate for that vote, but I opposed that war from the very beginning. In my first campaign for Senate, I ran against a Republican who ran ads against me on it, but I stood my ground. When I got to the Senate, I pushed to bring our troops home. Then I have dealt with every issue from Afghanistan to keeping our troops with good health care after what we saw with Walter Reed and being part of an effort to improve the situation for our troops in a very big way with their education and with their jobs and also with their health care. I think right now what we should be talking about, though, Wolf, is what is happening right now with Donald Trump. Donald Trump is taking us pell-mell toward another war. We have a very important resolution. We just found out today that four Republicans are joining Democrats to go to him and say you must have an authorization of military force if you're going to go to war with Iran. That is so important because we have a situation where he got us out of the Iranian nuclear agreement, something I worked on for a significant period of time. As president, I will get us back into that agreement. I will
Thank
take
you.
An oath to protect and defend our Constitution.
Little
and
Jesus
I will
says,
mean
what's
it.
Up? Hey, thanks for the Ninjagini, bro.
We're going to continue talking about who's best prepared
Not much.
To
Just
be
hanging
Commander
out,
in Chief,
watching
Mayor
this.
Buttigieg.
Well, I bring a different perspective. There are enlisted
Jay Rogers
people
says,
that
Nick, you're the man.
With,
trust the plan.
Barely
yeah,
old
thanks,
enough
bro.
To remember those votes on the authorization after 9/11.
What's going on with his
war
haircut, man?
In Iraq. And there are people now old enough to enlist who were not alive for some of those debates. The next president
this guy's
is
just
going
such a
to
weird
be
looking guy
with national security
right?
challenges different in scope and in kind
the whole face
from anything we've seen
and
before.
The hair.
Not just conventional military challenges,
strange
not just
looking guy.
Stateless terrorism. But
Jay
cybersecurity
Jentz has sold
challenges.
Literally
Climate
dozens of trinkets
security
to afford this
challenges.
Humble contribution.
Foreign interference
yes,
in
thank
our
you
elections.
For that, Wagey.
It's going to take a view to the future as well as the readiness to learn from the lessons of the past. And for me, those lessons of the past are personal.
Senator Warren, in our new CNN...
It's good to finally
Warren
have
Register
a debate,
poll,
though, that's only
almost
six
a third
people.
Of your
I have
supporters
to say, it's very refreshing.
Say your ability
it's a very
to
manageable
leave the military
debate
is
as
more
opposed
of a weakness
to like 10 or 9 or you
Why
know,
are
11.
You best prepared to be commander in chief?
Because I think we had 11 at one point, or 12. I think it was 12, actually.
To keep America safe. And I think that's about judgment. I think it starts with knowing our military. I sit on the Senate Armed Services Committee. I work with our generals, with our military leaders, with our intelligence. But I also visit our troops. I visit our troops around the world. I've been to Afghanistan, to Iraq, to Jordan, to South Korea. I've been to lots of places to talk with our troops. And I fight for our troops to make sure that they get their pay, that they get the housing and medical benefits that they've been promised, that they don't get cheated by giant financial institutions. You know, I have three brothers who are in the military, and I know how much our military families sacrifice.
I hate this so much.
But I also
already,
know that
man.
We have to think about our defense in very different ways. We have to think about cyber. We have to think about climate. We also have to think about how we spend
climate.
Money. We have a problem with a revolving door in Washington
Department
between the
of
defense
climate.
Industry
climate
and the
force.
Department of Defense and the Pentagon. That is corruption,
Nissan
pure
Leaf.
And simple.
That's
we need
we
to block
on,
that
right.
revolving door, and we need to cut our defense budget. We need to depend on all of our tools, yeah. diplomatic,
it's more
economic,
of the same. I don't
working
even know how to
with
respond
our
to
allies,
a lot of this electoral,
and not let
political
the defense
stuff.
Industry call the shots.
Mr. Steyer, you worked in finance for decades and have never held elected
I'm honestly shocked
office.
That he's
Why
on the stage.
Believe
he looks a lot better tonight, actually.
Or judgment to serve as commander
Must be wearing
chief.
Makeup. But this same fucking tie every time.
Around
it's terrible.
The world for decades. I traveled. I met with governments. I met with businesses. And I understand how America interacts with other countries. And you asked, what is the reason that the experience really counts? And to me, I believe that Senator Warren made a great point. It isn't so much about experience, it's about judgment. If you've been listening to this, what we are hearing
so
is
true.
20 years of mistakes yep. by the American government in the Middle East, of failure of mistakes. So the real question is judgment. And if you look who had the judgment, it was a state senator from Illinois with no experience named Barack Obama who opposed the war. It is a congresswoman, Barbara Lee from Oakland, California, who stood up against the original vote, who is the only person in Congress. So I would say to you this, an outside perspective, looking at this and actually dealing with the problems as they are, is what we're looking for now. I agree with Senator Warren. We are spending dramatically too much money on defense. The money that we're spending there, we could spend in the other parts of the budget. And it's time for someone from the outside to have a strategic view about what we're trying to do and how to do it.
Senator Sanders, in the wake of the Iran crisis, Iran's Ayatollah Khamenei has again called for all U.S. troops to be pulled out of the Middle East, something you've called for as well. Yet when American troops last left Iraq, ISIS emerged and spread terror across the Middle East and indeed around the world. How would you prevent that from happening again?
Okay, let me tell you. But before I tell you that, let me tell you something else. And that is, and I don't know if my colleagues here will agree with me on that. But what we have to face is a nation.
Oh, yeah, the lighthearted
is
moment.
Is that the two great foreign policy disasters of our lifetimes were the war in Vietnam and the war in Iraq. Both of those wars were based on lies. And right now, what I fear very much is we have a president who is lying again and could drag us into a war that is even worse
big money wage,
than
he
the
says,
war
crisp
in Iraq.
Suit Nick. Yes, thank
to
you.
To answer your question.
I got collar stays, finally.
What we need to do is
collar
have
stays,
an international
so my collar
coalition.
Stays.
We cannot keep acting unilaterally. As you know, the nuclear deal with Iran was worked on
sure
with a number of our allies. We have got to
cable
undo
management.
What Trump did, bring that coalition together, and make sure that Iran never gets a nuclear weapon.
Hmm. Vice President Biden. Yeah.
I was part of that deal to get the nuclear agreement with Iran, bringing together the rest of the world, including some of the folks who aren't friendly to us. And it was working. It was working. It was being held tightly. There was no movement on the part of the Iranian government to get closer to a nuclear weapon. And look what's happened. He went ahead and it was predictable from the day he
punching
out
an
agreement, Trump.
Yeah,
what exactly
Aryan,
would happen.
Uncle
we're
Joe.
Now isolated. We're
Uncle
in a situation
Joe
where our allies in Europe are making a comparison between the United States and Iran, saying both ought to stand down, making a moral equivalence. We have lost our standing in the region. We have lost the support of our allies. The next president has to be able to pull those folks back together, reestablish our alliances, and insist that Iran go back into the agreement, which I believe with the pressure applied as we put on before, we can get done.
So just to be clear, Vice President Biden, would you leave troops in the Middle East or would you pull them out?
I would leave troops in the Middle East in terms of patrolling the Gulf where we have to, where we are now, small numbers of troops.
Monochrome
and I think
says,
it's a
phalangist
to
Biden, Nozbol Bernie. Oh, it's a tough choice. If only that was the choice, right?
What's
phalangist versus
Nozbol.
That has to be the new dialectic.
And started this whole process moving. What's happening? ISIS is going to reconstitute itself. We're in a
choices.
Position where we have to pull our forces out. Americans have to leave the entire region. And quite frankly, I think he's flat out lied about saying the reason he went after the reason he made the strike was because our embassies were about to be bombed.
Senator Klobuchar, what's your response?
I would leave some
troops there.
How
is she still
there,
in the race? I'm
the
genuinely shocked
that
Donald
Trump
Klobuchar
is taking
remains.
Us right now. Afghanistan,
but,
I
like
have long wanted
Harris
to bring our
didn't,
troops
Booker,
home. I would do
Beto
that.
Even.
Some would remain for counterterrorism and training.
That's because she's from Minnesota.
In Syria,
like
I would
Kasich.
Not
she's
have
like
removed
the
150
the
troops from the border
you
with
know,
Turkey. I think that was a mistake.
He knew he would win,
I think it made our allies
Ohio
and many
primary.
Others much more vulnerable to ISIS. And then when it comes to Iraq right now, I would leave our troops there, despite the mess that has been created by Donald Trump.
Certain
At
connections.
At the briefing we had last week,
says,
I was
yeah.
the only person on this stage
Nepotism,
that
perhaps.
Asked a question of both the Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of State. And I asked them about imminent threat, but I also asked them what their alternatives were. And they gave very vague, vague answers. I asked them, where is the surge of diplomacy that we would be seeing if I was president? And
surge
I asked them
diplomacy.
Where they were going to leave the Iraqi people. Time and time again, you see that this president puts his own interests, his private interests, in front of our countries. I would put our country's interests first as commander-in-chief.
Senator Warren, leave combat troops, at least some combat troops in the Middle East, or bring them home?
No, I think we need to get our combat troops out. You know, we have to stop this
Jordan
mindset.
Jordan says these candidates are despicable, senile,
weirdos. Our military is the finest military on
Where's
Earth.
Where's Tulsi?
And they will take
Tulsi didn't
any
qualify.
Sacrifice we ask them
Miss
to
Tulsi
take.
Tulsi sucks.
But we should
Bad
stop
politician.
Asking our military to solve problems that cannot be solved militarily. Mm. Our keeping combat troops there is not helping. We need to work with our allies. We need to use our economic tools. We need to use our diplomatic tools. Now, look, I understand. There are people on this stage, when it comes to Afghanistan, for example, who talk about 5 more years, 10 more years. Shoot, Lindsey Graham talks about leaving troops there for 100 more years. No one has a solution and an end point. We need to get our combat troops out.
I like that you
they
took that slight at Lindsey Graham. That was pretty
big. The United States or the region.
Vice President Biden, is Senator Warren right?
Well, I tell you what, there's a difference between combat troops and leaving special forces in the position. I was part of the coalition that put together 68 countries to deal with stateless terror
Keep
as
USA
well as failed states.
Alcibiades
not
lives
us alone,
and everyone in
68
chat
68
is...
other countries.
Okay. Can you not
That's
say that,
we
please?
Were able
but
to
thanks for the Nijigini.
And end the caliphate for ISIS. They'll come back if we do not deal with them.
Thank
and we
you for
do
the
not
Nijigini,
have
but
someone
please,
who can bring together the rest of the world
chat. I don't
to
want
go
to get in trouble.
With us.
So I got an email last night about certain word
to
being spammed,
the effort
so
to take
we got
to
be.
Mayor Buttigieg, you served in Afghanistan. Who's right?
We can continue to remain engaged without having an endless commitment of ground troops.
Yeah.
But what's going on right
True.
Now is the president's actually sending more. The very yeah. president who said he was going to end endless
true.
War, who pretended to have been against the war in Iraq all along, but we know that's not true, now has more troops going to the Middle East. And whenever I see that
true.
Happen, I think about the day we shipped out and the time that was set aside for saying goodbye to family members. I remember walking with a friend of mine, another lieutenant I trained with, as we walked away and his 1.5-year-old boy was toddling after him, not understanding why his father wasn't turning back to scoop him up. And it took all the strength he had not to turn around and look at his boy one more time. That is happening by the thousands right
yeah,
now.
Pete Buttigieg
as
is
we
watching
see
that
so
scene
many more
from like behind a post somewhere.
And my
like
perspective
the
is to ensure that that
he was
will
watching
never
the little
happen
boy.
When there is an alternative.
It was really
commander.
Touching for Pete
Senator
Buttigieg.
Sanders.
Wolf, in America today, our infrastructure is crumbling. Half of our people are living paycheck to paycheck. 87 million people have no health care or are uninsured, underinsured. We've got 500,000 people sleeping out on the streets tonight.
James
the
Paul
American
says,
people are
sir,
sick and
sir,
tired
reporting to
of
climate force,
wars,
sir,
which have cost us trillions
to protect
of
the climate.
Our job is to rebuild the United
yeah,
Nations,
that joke.
Make,
yeah,
rebuild huh. the State Department. Make sure that we have the capability of bringing the world together. To resolve
this exercise is so pointless.
Diplomatically and stop the endless wars that we have experienced.
We're going to get to everyone, but Vice President
up
Biden,
in the middle of the night,
you criticize President
Franco's
Trump's decision
ghost.
To kill
what
the Iranian
next?
General Soleimani without first
I'm not,
going
I'm not
to Congress.
Along with that one.
Are there any circumstances other than a direct attack on the United States where you would take military action without congressional approval?
I ran the first time as a 29-year-old kid against the war in Vietnam on the grounds that only way to take a nation to war is with the informed consent of the American people. The informed consent of the American people. And with regard to this idea that we can walk away and not have any troops anywhere, including special forces, there's no way you negotiate or been able to negotiate with terrorists. You have to be able to form coalitions to be able to defeat them or contain them. If you don't, we end up being the world's policemen again. They're going to come to us. They've come to us before. They'll come to us again. So it's a fundamental difference than negotiating
louder,
with other countries.
Maybe.
It's fundamentally
if I make it louder.
A requirement that we use our special forces in small
Deep
numbers
says
to
lame
coordinate with other
yeah.
countries to bring together coalitions.
Mr. Vice President, just to Excuse be clear, the Obama-Biden administration did not ask Congress for permission multiple times when it took military action.
True.
So would the Biden doctrine be different?
No, there was the authorization for the use of military force that was passed by the United States Congress, House and Senate, and signed by the President. That was the authority. It does not give authority to go into Iran. It gave authority to deal with these other issues.
Mayor Buttigieg.
That authorization needs to be replaced.
Exactly. We tried.
Look, when we lost troops in Niger, there were members of Congress who admitted they didn't even know we had troops
Niger.
There.
Niger. Pete Buttigieg says N-word.
Maxie
Bros is LMFAO. We have 3 times the viewers
and
600 times the Lemons is Vouch. I didn't even know he was streaming tonight.
To leave aside its role. Now, thanks to Democrats in Congress, that's changed.
Kind of funny, though.
But the reality is, year after year, Congress didn't want to touch this either.
Please do not say Niger in chat. Please don't say Niger, Niger.
To go overseas into harm's way, often on deployment after deployment. And we've got to make sure
that
Congress has the courage to take tough up or down votes on whether
they
ought to be there.
And
when I am president, any time, which I hope will never happen, but any time I'm compelled to use force and seek that authorization, we will have a 3-year sunset so that the American people are included not
Thank
only
you.
In the decision about whether to send troops, but whether to continue.
Thank you. Senator Warren, we're going to get to everyone, but Senator Warren, what about you? Are there any circumstances other than a direct attack on the United States where you would take military action without congressional approval?
Well, imminent threat, but we need an authorization for the use of military force before we take this nation into combat. That is what the Constitution provides,
wow,
and that's
so
as Commander-in-Chief I will do. But I just want to be clear.
Commander-in-Chief,
everyone on this stage
a woman?
Talks about nobody wants endless
What a
war.
Stupid idea
the question
that is.
When and how do you plan
CF
to get
says,
out
special
of
forces,
you know,
says the boomer American. Yeah, kind of funny,
though. We have one general
though.
After another
Nathan
in Afghanistan who comes in and says, you know, we've just
imagine, you know, being a general
be
or a sergeant,
all the same,
Madam President, Madam President.
And we've just
do you, what do you even say,
we've
sir or ma'am?
So times we're going in
yes, ma'am, ma'am, yes,
regions.
Ma'am.
This has got to stop.
So
it's
dumb.
Not enough to
what
say
a joke of a country we would
we're
be.
We're going to get out. No one on the ground. None
imagine
of
a woman taking us to war.
Can describe what the conditions are for getting
some
out.
Some grandma
it's time
gets
to get
on the Oval Office desk. It's time to die for Iran.
Use military force as a deterrent, and if not, under what circumstances?
I'm not even trying to be funny. It's just
action.
It would be a travesty if that happened. I'm not even kidding. I'm not even kidding.
The safety of American citizens. But what we can see in the Middle East and what this conversation shows is that there is no real strategy that we're trying to accomplish in what we're doing in the Middle East. Obviously, Mr. Trump has no strategy. He is going
That's
from
not
crisis
true, idiot.
To crisis, from escalation to escalation.
Called containment, bitch.
But if you look further over the last 20 years, including in the war in Afghanistan, we know from the Washington Post that, in fact, there was no strategy. There was just a series of tactical decisions that made no sense. So we really have
I
to
hate
ask
this
ourselves
guy.
In the Middle
This
East,
guy's the most annoying
trying
person
to
on the stage.
He's I agree with Vice annoying. President Biden. To do it, we should definitely be doing it in coalition with other countries.
He's got like.
And I want to point out that as
that,
we do
like,
that,
bitchy
we're
like live
by this
energy.
Issue, which
you know what I mean?
Talking about. But at the same time, there's a gigantic climate issue in Australia, which also requires
sort of like,
the same kind of value-driven coalition building.
Like a teacher,
that we actually
you know, like,
should
a,
be
like
using
a high school
in the Middle
teacher.
East. We need to ask ourselves, how are we
sort
going
like
to provide a world that is safer for
self-righteous
Americans, where
kind
we can prosper
thing.
More, and every single thing we do should follow into that strategy, and it's just not happening in Washington, D.C.
Mayor Buttigieg, another critical issue you'd
like
face as president
customer.
Is the threat of nuclear weapons. Last week, President Trump said, quote, as long as
I was supposed to get my coffee
States,
with two creams,
Iran
and that is
never
not happening.
Allowed to have
oh,
a nuclear
okay,
weapon. Would a President Buttigieg
like a
make
lame
that
white
same
guy.
Promise?
Ensuring that Iran does not develop nuclear weapons will, of course, be a priority because it's such an important part of keeping America safe. But unfortunately, President Trump has made it much harder for the next president to achieve that goal by gutting the Iran nuclear deal, one that, by the way, the Trump administration itself admitted was working, certified that it was preventing progress toward a nuclear
No,
Iran.
But that's
By
wrong.
By gutting
but
that,
that's
they
wrong.
Have made the region more dangerous and set off
Marshall
the chain
says,
of events
do you think that Trump is
that
indirectly using Bismarck's realpolitik doctrines
and
dealing with Iran? Dude,
right
shut up.
Now,
Monochrome says, yes. Yo, nice watch, Nick. Very
in order
keen,
to get that
though.
Done,
thanks, bro.
We've got to work with our partners. The Iran nuclear deal, the technical term for it was the J. Letter J stood for joint. We can't do this alone, even less so.
The letter J stands for joint?
Which is why it will be so critically important to engage leaders, including a lot of new leaders emerging around the world, and ensure that we have the alliances we need to meet what I believe is not just an American goal, but a widely shared goal around the world to ensure that Iran does not become a nuclear-armed country.
And Mayor Buttigieg, to be clear, would you allow Iran to become a nuclear power, yes or no?
No. That our security depends on ensuring that Iran does not become nuclear. And by the way, we've got a lot of other challenges with nuclear proliferation around the world. Despite this president's coziness with Vladimir Putin, we actually seem to be further away from being able to work with Russia on things like the renewal of START. We've got to move toward less, not more, nuclear danger, whether it is from states, from stateless potential terrorist actors,
thank you, Mayor,
or anywhere else around the world.
Thank you, Mayor Buttigieg. Senator Klobuchar, if you become president, it's very possible there won't be an Iran nuclear
cozy
deal
check,
for the
somebody
United
says,
States
yeah.
to join.
Yo, cozy
Given
check?
That, how would you prevent Iran from
Look at her.
Nuclear weapon?
She's so ugly.
I would start negotiations again, and I won't take that as a given, given that our European partners are
Holy
still
shit.
Trying to hold the agreement together. My issue is that because of the actions of Donald Trump, we are in a situation where they are now
I'm reminded
Iran
of when I was called a hate-filled
to
gremlin
enrich
by
uranium again in violation of the original agreement. So what I would do is negotiate. I would bring people together, just as President Obama did years ago, and I think that we can get this done. But you have to have a president that sees this as a number one goal, and in answer to the original question you asked the mayor, I would
Let's
not
see.
Allow Iran
G,
to have a nuclear
gay
weapon.
And, fakes, as
and
Klobuchar,
then you have to get
her
an
beta
agreement
blockers
in place.
This time,
I think there
yeah.
are changes you can make to
Thanks
the agreement
for
that are sunset,
I'm going
some
to
changes
shank
to the
you
inspections.
To
but overall,
with a McDonald's
that is
cafeteria
what we
knife
And I am the one person on this
food.
Debate stage
ah,
on the
funny.
First night of the very first debate
Bro, you got
when
the whole
we were
squad
asked
laughing
what we saw as the biggest threat to our world. I said China on the economy, but I said Iran because of Donald Trump, because I feared that exactly what happened would happen. Enrichment of uranium, escalation of tensions, leaving frayed relations with our allies. We can bring them back. Understanding this is a terrorist regime that we cannot allow to
no.
have a nuclear weapon.
Vice President Biden, I want to ask you about North Korea. President Trump
They're
has
surprisingly
met with Kim
hawkish on Iran
times.
Compared to Barack Obama.
President Obama once said he would meet with North Korea without any preconditions. Would you meet with North
Jay
Korea
Rock
without
says
any
they have
preconditions?
A K-troll.
No, not now. I wouldn't meet with him without any
Chill,
preconditions.
Chill, man. Says Amy looks like she downed some narcotics or
legitimacy.
Something. Yeah, she's on something.
The president showed up, met with him, gave him legitimacy, weakened the sanctions we have against him. I would be putting what I did as vice president. I met with Xi Jinping more than anyone else. I would be putting pressure on China to put pressure on Korea to cease and desist from their nuclear power. Make
That's
their,
what Trump's
their
doing.
Efforts to deal with nuclear weapons.
Dummy.
I would move forward, as we did before, and you reported it extensively, Wolf, about moving forward the whole notion of defense against nuclear weapons that we would, and when China said to me, when Xi Jinping said to me, that's a threat to us, I said, we're going to move and protect our interests unless you get involved and protect it. I would reignite the relationship between Japan and South Korea, and I would put enormous pressure on China, because that's also in their interest for
there
them
There is
to
enormous
pressure
on China.
On
that's what the trade
North
war
Korea
is, dipshit.
But I would not.
Can't put more pressure on China than Trump is right now.
Absent preconditions, no. I would not meet with the, quote, Supreme Leader who said, Joe Biden is a rabid dog. He should be beaten to death with a stick. I count that.
Other than that, you like him.
Other than that, I like him, and he.
I fucking hate Bernie Sanders, right man. He's such a Reddit
Mr.
piece
Snyder,
of shit
you meet
with the jokes all the time.
No, it's very clear that if we're going to do something with North Korea, we're going to have to do it in concert with our allies. That meeting with him without preconditions is not going anywhere. That the staff can meet
this
to try
guy,
and see
man.
How far we can get. But this is a classic situation
Such
where the United States
bitch.
Idea of going it alone makes no sense. And when you are talking about Iran, let's face it, Iran is under great pressure economically. So every single discussion we've had about Iran has had to do with military power and America versus Iran. Whereas, in fact, what worked with President Obama was an alliance of our allies and us putting economic pressure on them for them to give up their military tactic. That, to me, is called strategy. Having a goal to make
That's
America
containment.
Safer
That's what Trump is doing,
broadly,
dummy.
Just us as the police.
That's what secondary
world,
sanctions are. This guy's
Let's
such an
stay
idiot.
Stay with the theme of America's role in the world and talk about trade.
Tomorrow, President Trump is expected to sign phase one of a trade agreement with China, and the Senate will likely soon approve a new trade deal with Mexico and Canada, Iowa's largest trading partners. Senator Sanders, you have said that new deal, the USMCA, quote, makes some modest improvements, yet you're going to vote against it. Aren't modest improvements better than no improvements for the farmers and manufacturers who have been devastated here in Iowa?
The answer is we could do much better than a Trump-led trade deal. This deal, and I think the proponents of it acknowledge, will result in the continuation of the loss of hundreds of thousands of good-paying jobs as a result of outsourcing. The heart and soul of our disaster trade agreements, and I'm the guy who voted against NAFTA and against permanent normal trade relations with China, is that we have forced American workers to compete against people in Mexico, in China, elsewhere, who earn starvation wages, $1 or $2 an hour. Second of all, every major environmental organization has said no to this new trade agreement because it does not even have the phrase climate change in it. And given the fact that climate change is right now the greatest threat facing this planet, I will not vote for a trade agreement that does not incorporate very, very strong
to
significantly lower fossil fuel emissions.
That's such
world.
A cope, because Trump
Senator
is actually
to be clear,
winning on
the
trade.
The AFL-CIO supports this deal. Are you unwilling to compromise?
The AFL-CIO does. The Machinist Union does not. And every environmental organization in this country, including the Sunrise Organization,
Red Coat Femoid,
were supporting my
candidacy. He's the most annoying moderator, second to that Spanish-speaking
guy.
She's not annoying.
She's climate change
ugly.
In a moment. If we do not get our act together in terms of climate change, the planet that we're going to be leaving our kids and our children and our grandchildren will be increasingly unlivable
and
uninhabitable.
We're going to get to climate change, but I'd like to stay on trade. Senator Warren.
Well, they are the same in this issue.
Senator Warren, you support
Chief
the
Bulging
USMCA.
Snakes, we need an
Why
alliance with our
Sanders
allies
wrong?
And us,
I do.
Tom Steyer.
I wasn't here. I've been in Congress long enough to
Great
have voted
idea.
Against NAFTA, but I led the fight against the trade deal with Asia and the trade deal with Europe because I didn't think it was in the interests of the American people, the American workers, or environmental interests. But we have farmers here in Iowa who are hurting, and they are hurting because of Donald Trump's initiated trade wars. We have workers who are hurting because the agreements that have already been cut really don't have enforcement on workers' rights. This new trade deal is a modest improvement.
See.
Senator
Ask
Sanders
juice.
Himself
Does Hottie
has
play
said so.
D-Live in the background
it will give
of a phone?
Some relief to
he
our
can't.
Farmers. It will give some relief to our workers. I believe we accept that.
But thanks
that
for interrupting the debate
to
ask a technical question like that.
And we
that.
Get up
You're
the
welcome.
Next day and fight for a better trade deal. We need a coherent trade policy. We need a policy that actually helps our workers, our farmers. We need them at the table, not just a trade policy written for big international companies. I'm ready to have that fight, but let's help the people
Thank
who
you.
Need
Senator
help
Sanders,
right now.
Can you please respond to Senator Warren?
Well, I think that it is not so easy to put together new trade legislation. If this is passed, I think it will set us back a number of years. Senator Warren is right in saying we need to bring the stakeholders to the table. That is the family farmers here in Iowa and in Vermont and around the country. That is the environmental community. That is the workers. Bottom line here is I am sick and tired of trade agreements negotiated by the CEOs of large corporations.
Senator Klobuchar,
behind
I'd like
doors.
To bring you in here.
Brianne, I want to hit reality here. I serve on the Agriculture Committee.
Time to hit reality,
and I will
Brianne.
Never forget going to Crawfordsville here in Iowa. And thank you for bringing up Iowa, Brianne, since that is where we are. And I went to this plant, and there was one worker left in that plant. That plant had been shut down because of Donald Trump's trade policies and because of what he had done to those workers with giving secret waivers to oil companies and ruining the renewable fuel standard. That worker brought out a coat rack of uniforms, and he said, "These are my friends. They don't work here anymore." And their names were embroidered on those uniforms. Derek, Mark, Salvador.
Wow.
And that guy started to cry.
Wow.
These are real people hurt by Donald Trump's trade war.
That is really
so what
touching.
We should do, and I support the USMCA, I am glad that these improvements were made that are supported by people like Richard Trumka and Sherrod Brown on labor and environment and on pharma, the sweetheart deal. I think we need a big trading block with North America to take on China. And the way you
Senator
are...
Klobuchar, that's what USMCA is, idiot.
Mayor Buttigieg, do you support...
That's what USMCA is, you dumb idiot.
It has been improved. It is not perfect. But when you sit down with the people who are most impacted, they share just how much harm has been done to them by things like the trade war and just how much we can benefit.
Jay Rocks, since I was confused as to why Bernie was drinking Coke
by making
the
sure
day.
We have the right that. Kind of labor and enforceability as Democrats ensure.
On one hand, they say
in this
the trade war is hurting farmers. And then in the next breath, they say they're going to use sanctions to pressure China and these other countries. How does that make any sense?
Selling trade deals, telling us, don't worry about your slice of the pie. The pie will get so much bigger that everyone will be better off. And that promise was broken. The part about the pie getting bigger happened. It's just that the part about it getting to most people where I live did not.
That's actually
true.
That
is why there is such frustration. The sense that these decisions in boardrooms and in committee rooms in Washington are being made not based on what's best for us, but based on their own game.
Vice President Biden, Senator Sanders has said Donald Trump will, quote, eat your lunch for voting yes on what he calls terrible trade agreements. When it comes to trade, why are you the best candidate to take on President Trump?
There will be no trade agreement signed in my administration without environmentalists and labor at the table.
That is so stupid.
And there will be
stupid.
No trade agreement until we invest more in American workers. We should be putting our money and our effort and our time in preparing American workers to compete in the 21st century.
You can't have
on
it all.
Tech side,
if you give up things for climate.
Artificial intelligence. We
rather,
should be focusing on...
Make concessions for climate,
and by
then
the way,
you can't get
idea,
other things.
I don't know that there's any trade agreement.
You
that
can't
the
have
Senate
everything that you want.
Made any sense?
You know,
but
and also not even use economic pressure.
The
They're like,
are out
we're
there.
Just going to negotiate a deal that is perfect and has climate
road,
and labor
China.
Regulations, and it's going to help our workers, and it's going to be better than NAFTA and USMCA, and we don't need sanctions to achieve it. Oh,
in case you haven't noticed,
sure. How's that going to happen?
And that is NAFTA. PNTR with China, other trade agreements, were written for one reason alone, and that is to increase the profits of large multinational corporations. And the end result of those two, just PNTR with China, Joe, and NAFTA, cost us some 4 million jobs as part of the race to the bottom. I am sick and tired and will not tolerate, and we will use the power of the federal contracting system. If a corporation in America wants to shut down in Iowa or Vermont or any place else, and then they think they're going to get online for a generous federal contract, they've got another thing going. We need some corporate responsibility here, and we need to protect good-paying jobs in America, not see them go to China, Mexico, Vietnam,
Mr.
and
Vice
other
President, what's your response?
We need corporate responsibility, and I agree with that completely. But we also need to have enforcement mechanisms in the agreements we make. Enforceable agreements. That's one of the things that has been improved with the trade agreement with Mexico. And that's what we should be doing in any agreement we have. But let's get back to the basics here. If we don't set the rules of the road by going out to our partners instead of poking our eye and poking our finger in the eye of all our friends and allies, we make up 25% of the world's economy. We got to bring the other 25% of our allies along with us to set the rules of the road so China cannot continue to abuse their power by stealing our intellectual property and doing all the other things using their corporate state.
Yeah, but they're not going to go along with it, dummy.
Senator Warren.
You know, our problem is not just that
it's
we need
so
corporate
stupid.
Responsibility. It's been the structure of how these trade deals have been negotiated. The United States has had a strategy for decades, and that strategy has been to have
as if these other countries are just going to be like, oh,
number,
yeah, sure.
And then surround them
hey,
with
listen,
giant
you need to start doing this.
Lobbyists
oh, okay.
and corporate executives who
hey, listen,
in
Canada,
the
Mexico,
of our
Europe, start playing by our rules.
All
right.
Giant multinational corporations.
We can't even threaten that. These people don't even want to threaten sanctions.
Not good for the environment. We need a different approach to trade, and it starts by calling out the corruption of these giant corporations that have cut our trade deals. Everybody wants to get to the American market, and we need to put some standards in place. You want to be able to sell your goods here, then you've got to meet some environmental standards. You've got to meet labor standards.
We need a coherent...
Who cares about any of that?
Mr. Steyer, even though farmers and manufacturers here in Iowa and around the country could see some relief from the China deal, they've been crushed by the current administration's trade war. What will you do as president to help them get back on their feet?
It's like a blob.
Look, on the first day, I would undo Mr. Trump's tariffs. On the first day, I would get rid of his waivers that Senator Klobuchar was referring to oil refiners, so not having to use corn-based ethanol. In fact, these trade deals have been exactly what Senator Sanders and Warren have been saying, which is that they've been designed to grow the American GDP for the corporations of America, not for the working people of America, and not to protect the climate. So let me say this. I'm the only person on this stage who says climate's my number one priority.
Yeah.
I would not sign
this deal. We got it, bro. Got it.
Because if climate's your number one priority, you can't sign a deal, even if it's marginally better for working people, until climate is also taken into consideration. Look, I've got four kids between the ages of 26 and 31. I cannot allow this country to go down the path of climate destruction. Everybody in their generation knows it. Frankly, Mayor Buttigieg, you're their generation. I think you would be standing up more. That's why I'm standing up for it. We cannot put climate on the back seat all the time and say, we're going to sign this one more deal, we're going to do one more thing without putting climate
my
first.
Neck hurts.
That's why it's my number one priority. We can do it.
I got classic case of gamer neck.
Mayor Buttigieg, your response?
Well, that's right. This issue's personal for me. It's why we're going to tackle climate from day one. It's why we've got to make sure that we have better answers than we do today. Now, what I've noticed is pretty much all of us propose that we move on from fossil fuels by the middle of the century, starting with actions that we take right now. The question is, how are we going to make sure any of this actually gets done? Because people have been saying the right things in these debates for literally decades. The other day in Winterset, there was a kid at one of my events, raised his hand, and he pointed out that he expects to be here in his 90s in the year 2100. He will sit in judgment over what we do. Not just what we on this stage do, anyone old enough to vote right now, whether we actually put together the national project it will require.
Imagine a Zoomer going to a Pete Buttigieg rally. How gay could you be as a Zoomer?
That's table stakes. But to actually move on from the fossil-dependent economy we live in
today. Let's now turn to an issue that's come up in the last 48 hours. Senator Sanders. CNN reported yesterday that, and Senator Warren confirmed in a statement, that in 2018, you told her that a woman could win the election. Why did you say that?
Well, as a matter of fact, I didn't say it. And I don't want to waste a whole lot of time on this, because this is what Donald Trump and maybe some of the media want. Anybody knows me knows that it's incomprehensible that I would think that a woman could not be president of the United States. Go to YouTube today. There's a video of me 30 years ago talking about how a woman could become president of the United States. In 2015, I deferred, in fact, to Senator Warren. There was a movement to draft Senator Warren to run for president. And you know what? I said, stayed back. Senator Warren decided not to run, and I did run afterwards. Hillary Clinton won the popular vote by 3 million votes. How could anybody in a million years not believe that a woman could become president of the United States? And let me be very clear. If any of the women on this stage or any of the men on this stage win the nomination, I hope that's not the case. I hope it's me. But if they do, I will do everything in my power to make sure that they are elected in order to defeat the most dangerous president in the history of our country.
So, Senator Sanders.
Bernie cucked on the woman
question. I do want to be clear here. You're saying that you never told Senator Warren that a woman could not win the election.
That is correct.
Senator Warren, what did you think when Senator Sanders told you a woman could not win the election?
What? This...
I disagreed. Bernie is my friend.
I was going to say something there.
I'm not here to try to fight with Bernie. But look, this question about whether or not a woman can be president has been raised, and it's time for us to attack it head on. And I think the best way to talk about who can win is by looking at people's winning record. So, can a woman beat Donald Trump? Look at the men on this stage. Collectively, they have lost 10 elections. The only people on this stage who have won every single election that they've been in are the women, Amy and me.
Oh, my gosh. This country, man, it's going straight down the tubes.
And the only person on this stage
who you hear all the girls in the audience.
Republican any time in the past 30 years is me. And here's what I know. The real danger that
I'm
we
a girl,
face as Democrats
and I win.
Is
I'm
picking
a girl,
candidate
I'm the only
who can't
one that
pull
wins.
Our party together or someone who takes for granted
so
big
fucked.
Parts of
We're
the
fucked.
Democratic constituency. Cooked. We need a candidate who will excite all parts of the Democratic Party, bring everyone in, and give everyone a Democrat to believe in. That's my plan, and that is why I'm going to win.
That's
Senator
my plan.
Klobuchar, thank you.
And that's why I'm going to win.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Senator Klobuchar, what
yes.
do you
Such a fake, folksy
Senator
shtick.
Senator Klobuchar, let me finish my question.
Oh, okay.
What do you say to people?
What a fucking bitch,
I thought
bitch,
it was such an
dude.
I wasn't at the
bitch.
Meeting, so I can't comment, but I was going to...
What do you say to people who say that a woman can't
bitch.
Win this election?
This moderator's such
I hear
a
that.
Bitch.
People have said it. That's why I've addressed it from this stage. I point out that you don't have to be the tallest person in the room. James Madison was 5'4". You don't have to be the skinniest person in the room.
Manlet check?
You don't have to be the loudest
Based
person.
Based manlet?
You have to be competent. And when you look at the facts... Michigan has a woman governor right now, and she beat a Republican, Gretchen Whitmer. Kansas has a woman governor right now, and she beat Kris Kobach. And her name is, I'm very proud to know
I need a safe
her,
space
and
right
her
now.
Name is Governor Kelly. Thank you. Third, I would add to this, you have to be a competent to win, and you have to know what you're doing. And when you look at what I have done, I have won every race, every place, every time. I have won in the reddest of districts. I have won in the suburban areas, in the rural areas. I have brought people with me. That is why I have the most endorsements of
Excuse
current
me.
Iowa legislators and former Iowa legislators in this race.
Thank you.
Because I know I bring people with me. And
finally, we are all clowns. Somebody says in chat, we are all clowns. So
have
true.
I've gotten out of politics for good.
Clown chat.
And I think that sounds pretty good. I think that sounds pretty good with the guy we have in the White House right now.
Senator Sanders, you can respond.
Well, just to set the record straight, I defeated an incumbent Republican running for Congress.
When?
1990. That's how I won. Beat a Republican.
Eat shit, woman. Eat Number shit, two. You dummy. Look at how stupid she looks.
Any debate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you dummy. Bah!
I beat an incumbent Republican congressman.
And I said, I was the only one who's beaten an incumbent Republican in 30 years.
Well, 30 years ago is 1990. As a
yeah,
fact.
Math. Math! math, you dummy! Math!
I think what the major...
Yes, shut up!
Does anybody in their right mind think that a woman cannot be elected president? That's enough. Nobody believes that. If Hillary Clinton got 3 million votes...
That was epic.
So who believes that a woman can't win? Of course a woman can win. But the real question is...
woman be like, duh, duh, I said 30 years ago. I said not in 30 years. 1990 was 30 years ago, you stupid bitch!
And a campaign that has by far the largest voter turnout in the history of this country. And I believe that our campaign has the strongest grassroots movement.
Thank
we
you.
Have been endorsed by many grassroots.
Senator
good
Warren,
to see. It's good to
Senator
see. That was Warren, that was redeeming, redeeming
so
moment
the right
in world history.
How do we beat Trump? And here's the thing. Since Donald Trump was elected, women candidates have outperformed men candidates in competitive races. And in 2018, we took back the House. We took back state houses because of women candidates and women voters. Look. Don't deny that the question is there. Back in the 1960s, people asked, could a Catholic win? Back in 2008, people asked if an African American could win. In both times, the Democratic Party stepped up and said yes, got behind their candidate, and we changed America. That's who we are.
Vice President Biden. Vice President Biden, go ahead.
I agree women can win, and I've went in and campaigned for 27 of them this last in 2018. The best group I've ever campaigned for in terms of competence. But the real issue is who can bring the whole party together, represents all elements of the party, African-Americans, brown, black, women, men, gay, straight. The fact of the matter is that I would argue that in terms of endorsements around the country, endorsements wherever we go, I am the one who has the broadest coalition of anyone running up here in this race.
All right, we're going to take a short break now. The CNN Democratic presidential debate live from Grace University. We'll be right back.
That was extremely satisfying. That was so perfect because, like, I don't know. I mean, it really wasn't that exciting, okay? I guess it really wasn't that exciting, you know, objectively, but after how long have we been watching this? 50 minutes already? And we were about to go down that path of, you know, Warren and Klobuchar are going to say, girl power, you know, bitchy moderators. So, Warren, how did you react when Bernie Sanders said the thing that he, like, just denied saying? And all the girls are going to say, well, we keep winning and winning and we're competent and we're winners and we're better than the men on the stage. And, you know, then Bernie just totally blew her out like that. And she didn't even take it right away. She's like, what race did you win? Well, no, I said 30 years ago. And then she just got smacked down like that. And it was, and on like math, it was so good. It was so perfect. Perfect, epic moment. Snotty, arrogant women beat down again. You know, and not like I'm in favor of beating down women or anything like that, but arrogant people. That's what I mean. So that was funny. But anyway, so finally we have a break here. I probably should have started the stream a little bit earlier so we could sort of like introduce the debate. The debate tonight is actually really important because the first primary in the whole race is on February 3rd. This is the last debate before the first, it's actually a caucus, before I think the Iowa caucus, which is on February 3rd. So this one's kind of a big deal. The debate is taking place in Iowa. The first contest is what then in 2 weeks, February 3rd. And that will set the tone for the rest of the race. You know, so far we've had something like, I lost track, like 9 or 10 debates or something. The race has been going on actually for longer than 1 year. Elizabeth Warren announced her exploratory committee last January. So the race is now already a year old. We've had like 10 debates. You know, I think like 10 candidates have dropped out. They've narrowed the field down to 7 candidates on the stage. Tulsi Gabbard, Andrew Yang, and Michael Bloomberg, who are all still in the race, did not qualify. Obviously, so many people have dropped out at this point. Beto O'Rourke, Julian Castro, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker. You know, a lot of people have ducked out. And what happens in Iowa on February 3rd will kind of determine who will stay in, who will stay out, and give you an idea of what the prospects are looking like. You know, right now there really is like no clear front runner in the race. Well, there's a clear front runner, but there isn't a clear winner of the entire primary. You know, Joe Biden's been in first in the polls forever, uncontested, but Bernie Sanders and Warren are about tied, and they're right on his heels, especially in Iowa. So depending on how it ranks in Iowa, you know, that is what will determine what will happen in New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina, and these four primary contests will give us an idea of the rest of the race, how it'll unfold in all the other states. You know, to me, there's still a big question mark. I really don't know what's going to happen in this one, in Iowa. I think probably Joe Biden's going to come out on top. I think he'll probably be number one, but I've seen a lot of polls in Iowa where Elizabeth Warren's, like, by far number one. Sanders does really well in Iowa. So So it's still a big question mark as to how it'll pan out there, and then how it pans out in Iowa will then affect all the other races. You know, I think, for example, if Andrew Yang doesn't do very well, he'll probably drop out. Tulsi Gabbard may drop out before the Iowa caucus. Michael Bloomberg, depending on how he does in Iowa, he might drop out afterward, you know, and that will shape how the rest of the race pans out, the dynamics between the candidates. So that's why tonight matters a lot. And I will say this is how it should have been like from the start. You know, they should have had from the start like a top tier and a bottom tier, and they should have organized it by polling. Like if you poll high, you're in the prime time. If you poll low, you're in the so-called JV debate or whatever, the kids table, as what they were calling it in 16. Because these are all the people that have a chance of winning. For how many months did we have to sit and listen to, like, who is that idiot from Colorado, Michael Bennett, and all these other people? You know, so finally we've distilled it down to the seven people who can probably win. Even seven's probably excessive. I don't think Klobuchar's going to win. You know, I don't think Tom Steyer's going to win. So even seven is excessive, but at least this is manageable, and we have people that, like, have a shot. They've got a path. So anyway, it's aside from that, it's more of the same. At this point, they should have done that from the start, but now at this point, it's too late. There's been like 10 of them, and we've already heard everything there is for people to say on the stage. We've heard about all the issues. We've heard all the takes. We've heard all the different combinations, all the different, you know, he said, she said, and attacks and whatever. Okay, it looks like, what's going on here? I think I have to refresh the page here. So, Eggman. People are saying we want the Eggman. Yeah, what the hell is that guy's name? Delaney?
Uninsured and underinsured. And looks while like 30,000 people die each year, on the Medicare pay for it is a 4% tax on income, exempting the first $29,000. So the average family in America that today makes $60,000 would pay $1,200 a year, compared to that family paying $12,000 a year. We save money, comprehensive health care, because we take on the greed and the profiteering and the administrative nightmare that currently exists in our dysfunctional system.
Vice President Biden, does Senator Sanders owe voters a price tag on his health care plan?
I think we need to be candid with voters. I think we have to tell them what we're going to do and what it's going to cost. And a 4% tax on income over $24,000 doesn't even come close to paying for between 30 and some estimates as high as $40 trillion over 10 years. That's doubling the entire federal budget per year. There's a way to do that. The way to do that is to take Obamacare, reinstate, rebuild it, provide a public option, allow Medicare for those folks who want it, and in fact, make sure that we, in the process, reduce the cost of drug prices, reduce the cost of being able to buy into the, subsidize it further, and make it everybody available to everyone. Here's the deal. That costs a lot of money. That costs $740 billion over 10 years. I lay out how I pay for that.
Senator Sanders.
Well, first of all, what Joe forgets to say is when you leave the current system as it is, what you are talking about are workers paying, on average, 20% of their incomes for health care. That is insane. You got 500,000 people going bankrupt because they cannot pay their medical bills. We're spending twice as much per capita on health care as do the people of any other country. Look, we've talked about health care for all in this country for over 100 years. Now is the time to take on the greed and corruption of the health care industry, of the drug companies, and finally provide health care to all through a Medicare for All single-payer program. It won't be easy, but that is what we have to do.
You can do it without
this again. You can do without really? Medicare for All again?
The same place.
Senator Klobuchar, your response.
Yeah, Senator Sanders and I have worked together on pharmaceuticals for a long, long time, and we agree on this. But what I don't agree with is that his position on health care. This debate isn't real. I was in Vegas the other day, and someone said, don't put your chips on a number on the wheel that isn't even on the wheel. That's the problem. Over two-thirds of the Democrats in the U.S. Senate are not on the bill that you and Senator Warren are on. You have numerous governors that are Democratic that don't support this. You have numerous House members that put Nancy Pelosi in as Speaker. The answer is a nonprofit public option. The answer is the real debate we should be having is how do we make it easier for people to get coverage for addiction and mental health? I have a plan for that. And then finally, what should we do about long-term care, the elephant that doesn't even fit in this room? We need to make it easier for people to get long-term care insurance. We need to make it easier for them to pay for their premiums. My own dad, I know when his long-term care insurance ends. And then we have some savings for him. He's in assisted living. He got married three times, whole nother story, so there isn't much there. But then we go to Medicaid, and I've already talked to Catholic Elder Care. They're willing to take him in. Our story is better than so many other families. We have to make it easier for long-term care. It's not just for seniors. It's also for the sandwich generation.
Thank you, Senator Klobuchar.
People trying to
sandwich
help
generation. That sounds
so
like you.
We need to start with what's happening in America. People are suffering. I'll just pick one. 36 million people last year went to the doctor, got a prescription. This is what they needed to get well.
What did she just say?
And they couldn't afford to have the prescription filled.
30
what? They looked at it and said, it's either groceries or this prescription. My approach to this is we've got to get as much help to as many people as quickly as possible. I have worked out a plan where we can do that without raising taxes on middle-class families by one thin dime. What I can do are the things I can do as president on the first day. We can cut the cost of prescription drugs. I'll use the power that's already given to the president to reduce the cost of insulin and EpiPens and HIV/AIDS drugs. Let's get some relief to those families, and I will defend the Affordable Care Act. I've got a plan to expand health care, but let's keep in mind, when we come to the general election, we Democrats may argue among each other about the best way to do health care, but we're going to be up against a Republican incumbent who has cut health care for millions of people and is still trying to do that. I'll take our side of the argument any day.
Thank
we're
you.
Going to
Thank
beat
you, Senator
him on
Warren.
This.
Vice President Biden.
The proposal I lay out does, in fact, limit
my neck crack.
Drug costs. It sets up, it allows all the drug companies, it allows you to Medicare
pens,
to negotiate with drug
pen.
Companies for the price. It sets a system whereby you cannot raise the price of a drug beyond the cost of medical inflation.
Hey.
And by the
hey,
way,
Elizabeth Warren, can you spell Penn Island?
For in the Obama
Save the West. Is he all right there,
Biden
bud?
Option.
I'm just recovering
Shire.
Still.
Look, we've had this conversation
tomorrow.
On this stage so many times. Everybody on this stage believes that affordable health care is a right for every single American. Everybody on this stage knows that Americans are paying twice as much for health care as any other advanced country in the world, and it makes no sense, and the government has to step in. I do happen to agree with Vice President Biden that we should move and develop the Affordable Care Act with a public option. But the real question is this. This is not a new problem. Why do we keep having this conversation? We have a broken government. It has been bought by corporations that include the drug companies, the insurance companies, and the private hospitals.
Yep.
That's what I'm talking about. How do we get back government of, by, and for the people?
Dude, you're
How
a billionaire.
How do we actually
Thank
break
you.
The corporate stranglehold on our
Thank
government
you.
So that we
Thank
can
you,
get
Mr.
any
Sire.
Of these things passed?
Thank you, Mr. Steyer.
He literally bought his
Sanders,
way into this
your campaign.
Campaign. He's a billionaire.
Would double federal
what an
spending
idiot.
Over the next decade, an unprecedented level of spending not seen since World War II. How would you keep your plans from bankrupting the country?
Our plan wouldn't bankrupt the country. And in fact, it would much improve the well-being of working class families and the middle class. Let us be clear what Medicare for All does.
Zoomer
it
clip
ends
says,
all
thank
premiums.
You, Jewish billionaire. yeah, exactly.
It ends the absurdity of deductibles. It ends out-of-pocket expenses. It takes on the pharmaceutical industry, which in some cases charges us 10 times more for the same prescription drugs sold abroad as sold here. What we will do through a Medicare for All single-payer program is substantially lower the cost of healthcare for employers and workers, because we end the $100 billion a year that the healthcare industry makes and the $500 billion a year we spend in administrative, the administrative nightmare of dealing with thousands of separate insurance plans. Healthcare is a human right. Every other major country on earth is guaranteeing healthcare for all. The time is long overdue for us to do the same.
Senator Klobuchar.
Again, I think it is much better to build on the Affordable Care Act. And if you want to be practical and progressive at the same time and have a plan and not a pipe dream, you have to show how you're going to pay for it. And I would also note practically
that
the Affordable Care Act right now is 10 points more popular than the President of the United States. So I think the answer is to build on it. And yes, I think you should show how you're going to pay for things, Bernie. I do. This president is treating people out there like poker chips in one of his bankrupt casinos.
Adding
to our debt.
How many times have we heard that one?
Who has on her website
in poker chips in one of his bankrupt casinos? Who does that actually even appeal to? Who actually hears that is like, oh, that was clever.
That they put in there.
That was really good.
Fund to pay back the deficit.
No, like poker chips in hand, just like that.
Capital gains
Thank
tax
you, Senator
going
Klobuchar.
To the personal
I'm
level,
gonna vote for this Jewish
doing
bitch
something about
now.
The hedge fund loophole.
I'm gonna vote for
you
this
can go
dummy now.
Your
you time
get
is
the
up.
Money
Let's
to
dummy
pay
check.
For
Yo, dummy check.
Mayor Buttigieg, you're selling your plan as Medicare for all who want it. Yet your plan would automatically enroll uninsured Americans into a public option, even if they don't want it, and force them to pay for it. How is that truth in advertising?
Well, it's making sure that there is no such thing as an uninsured American. Look, the individual mandate was an important part of the ACA because the system doesn't work if there are free riders. What I'm offering is a
just
choice.
Just doing retard voice.
You don't have to be in my plan if there's another plan that you would rather
it
keep.
Starts with
and
blah,
no
blah, blah.
To kick Americans
yeah.
off the
Shut
plans
it.
That they want in order
Shut
to
it.
Deliver health care for all. And my plan is paid for. Look, our party should no longer hesitate to talk about the issue of
Shut
the debt
it, gay man.
And the deficit. Now, we've got a dramatically better track record on it than Republicans do. In my lifetime, it's almost invariably Republican presidents who have added to the deficit, $1 trillion under this president. And it's why everything I've put forward, from Medicare for all who
Pete
want
Buttigieg
to
is a man
investments we're going to make
who has
in
had a penis in his mouth.
Climate change is fully paid
That's going to be our president?
You can do it in two moves.
When's
of
that
my
question?
My plan costs $1.5 trillion.
Pete Buttigieg is a man
no
who has had
sum,
another man's penis in your mouth.
You're about
How can anybody respect
things.
You?
Both of them are common sense.
As
Allow
President
Medicare
of the United States.
Prescription drug prices and roll
I'm not kidding, Bob. I mean, that's like a legitimate thing. That was a red pill that I had in high school. But about women.
So I started this by talking
I said,
about 36
like,
million Americans.
I was sitting in class one day and I was thinking about like my female teacher and I was like, you know, she's
we all
probably
talk about plans, healthcare plans that we have and these
That's
plans
probably
paid
why
for.
Should I listen
the
to anybody?
The problem is that plans like the mayor's and like the vice president
who has done that
is that they are an improvement.
How can we have a female president if they do right that? Now. You know, that was in high school I realized that about women, but it is but obviously it is also true of gay men.
Because by themselves they're not going to be enough to cover prescriptions.
Not kidding, that's a true story by the way. I was in school and I was like
to get them filled. What you know, we need to do is make the commitment that we know where the money comes from. We can ask those at the very
so
top.
The,
same,
the
top
words that are coming out of her mouth right
more.
Now, that's
Those
the same place
like
where
Chevron
something
and
else
Amazon
was.
Paid
so
nothing
how
in
can
taxes.
I respect you?
We can have them pay. And we can go after the corporate tax cheats. And when we do that, we have enough money to provide health care for all our people. Yes, we build on the Affordable Care Act, but where we end up is
not to be vulgar,
health care to
real.
All of our people. And we can offer it at no cost or low cost to all of them.
Mayor Buttigieg.
It's just not true that the plan I'm proposing is small. We got to move past a Washington mentality that suggests that the bigness of plans only consists of how many trillions of dollars they put through the Treasury. That the boldness of a plan only consists of how many Americans it can alienate. This would be a game changer. This would be the biggest thing we've done to American healthcare in a half century. Let's measure the effects of our plans based on what they would do in our everyday lives. And yes, we're taking on cost. On prescription drugs, we'll have an out-of-pocket cap, even if you don't get the subsidies that would make it free, a $250 monthly cap. And here's why it's got to be monthly. You ever been in that situation or known somebody who finds that they've got to defer a procedure or delay filling a prescription to try to have it happen in the right month? Because of when your out-of-pocket cap hits, it makes no sense medically because most of us don't experience the economy on an annual basis. Our bills don't come in every year. They come in every month. Same with our paychecks, biweekly or monthly. That's why we set this up in a way to solve the problem without running up $20, $30, $40 trillion
Senator Warren, your response?
Look, the numbers that the mayor's offering just don't add up. The average family in America last year paid $12,000 in some combination of deductibles and co-pays and uncovered expenses and fees. You can't cover that with the kind of money that the mayor is talking about. The way we have to approach this is we've got to build this, and we've got to build the alliances to make this happen. I can bring down the cost of prescription drugs like insulin and take hundreds of millions of dollars out of the system immediately in cost. We can get help to families, but we have to be willing to work together. We can let people experience what healthcare is like. When it's you and your doctor, your mental health professional, your nurse practitioner with no insurance company standing in the middle. When people try it and use it,
then Senator Warren, you acknowledged that Medicare for All, that you couldn't get there right away. You got on the bill that said on page 8, which is why I didn't get on it, that you would kick 149 million Americans off their current health insurance. Then, a few months ago, you said, no, you're going to wait a while to get there. And I think that was some acknowledgement that maybe what we're talking about is true. And I don't buy that it's not enough. It is a big, big step to say to people making $100,000 a year that your premiums will be cut in half, which is what the nonprofit public option will do. And if you talk, Mayor Buttigieg, about Medicare and having negotiation, I actually have led that bill for years. I have 34 co-sponsors. As president, I can get it done. That would allow Medicare to finally negotiate and lift the ban that Big Pharma got into law that says they can't negotiate for better prices for our seniors. I will get it done.
Senator Sanders, coming to you now. CNN reached out to Iowa Democratic voters for their most pressing questions. Edward, from here in Des Moines, writes, Des Moines is an insurance town. What happens to all the insurance industry, the health insurance industry here, if there is Medicare for All? What happens to all the jobs and the livelihoods of the people that live in insurance towns like Des Moines?
We build into our Medicare for All program a transition
Warren says,
fund
Mr.
of many, many billions of dollars
AIDS insurance,
that will
I'm
provide
sure
for up to 5 years.
Minnesota says Warren is like
income
an even more mundane version of Hillary Clinton. Nah, that's Klobuchar.
But here is the issue. Tom Steyer made
Adam
the point
says,
a moment ago.
Adam says, as president, I won't do shit because you'll never be president, so shut the F up. Yeah,
as do
real.
The people of any other country.
Facts.
That is insane. In some cases, 10 times more for prescription drugs. Why is that? Why is that? And the answer is the greed and corruption of the drug companies and the insurance companies.
The corrupt!
If we want to do what every other major country on earth does and guarantee people health care is a human right, not a privilege. You know what we have to do? We are finally going to have to stand up to the health care industry and end hundreds of billions of dollars of waste and profiteering.
Mr. Steyer.
I just want to emphasize what Senator Sanders said. This is not a complicated problem. Between what Senator Warren and Senator
this
Sanders
great
said,
city.
Clear, there are two problems. We're spending way too much because corporations own this
we
system.
We need to take over Des Moines.
And we're not negotiating against those corporations. And
blow
we've
up
given
the bridges
tax
into
cuts
Des Moines
to the richest Americans and the biggest corporations for decades. That's all this is. We have corporations who are having their way with the American people, and people are suffering. Senator Warren is right. This is cruelty for money. In order to break this, we're going to have to break the corporate stranglehold and solve both the tax and the negotiating problem. That's why I'm for term limits. We need to redo Washington, D.C., and actually take back the government from the corporation.
Thank you, Mr. Steyer. Vice President Biden.
I would argue that the biggest breakthrough in recent time was us being able to do in our administration what five Democratic presidents couldn't get done, and that is pass Obamacare. It was a big deal. Secondly, I would argue that the way you control drug prices is you limit what they can charge for those prices.
Chief
you don't have
Bulging
to pay the price.
So someone else's labor is your right.
If in fact
Hello,
they charge
Stalin
more
Department.
Than we set
okay.
the price
Cringe
for,
libertarian
they can, in fact, we can people can import from abroad, assuming that it is safe. We, in fact, it's only yellow Wolf, okay? And we can, in fact, do all of this and still provide people the option to stay, the roughly 150 to 160 million Americans who like the negotiated
Zoomer
plan they have with their
made you a website that tracks all
don't
the
D-Live
like super chats.
It,
check your email.
They can buy
okay,
into a Medicare
you.
Plan.
I'll check
the
after
Biden
the show.
Let's talk a little bit more about prescription drugs right now. Prescription drug prices in 2018, Americans spent $335 billion on prescription drugs alone. That's about $60 billion more than they paid a decade ago. Senator Warren, you've called for the creation of a government-run drug manufacturer that would step in if there is a drug shortage or a price spike. Why does it make sense for the government to manufacture drugs, especially when public trust in government is near historic lows?
So let's do this both ways. What I also have said is I'm just going to use the power that is available, and I will do what a president can do all by herself on the very first day, and that is lower the prices of certain prescription drugs. I will lower the price of insulin. We already have the legal authority with a president to do that. President just hasn't picked up and used it. I will lower the price of EpiPens, of HIV, AIDS drugs. That's going to bring a lot of relief to a lot of families immediately. But, you know, there are a whole lot of drugs, about 90% of drugs, that are not under patent. They're generic drugs. But the drug industry has figured out how to manipulate this industry to keep jerking the prices up and up and up. So my view is, let's give them a little competition.
It's got
the
a weird
government
idea.
Lets contracts for all kinds of things. They let contracts to build buildings. They let contracts to build military weapons. Let's let the contracts out, put the contracts out, so that we can put more generic drugs out there and drive down those prices. This is a way to make markets work. Not to try to move away from the market. You don't have to even use price controls. The whole idea behind
it
is get some competition out there so the price of these drugs that are no longer under patent drops where it should be.
Senator Klobuchar, do you believe the government should be manufacturing drugs?
I am open to looking at it, but I would try these things first.
Who would buy drugs
from
the government?
Number one, I mentioned the Medicare negotiation. Number two, I have a plan, 137 things I found that a president can do herself in the first 100 days
chat's going
without
Congress mode
that are legal. And one of those things is that you can start bringing in less expensive drugs from other countries. Bernie and I had an amendment on this. We got 14 Republican votes on it. It was at midnight. They might have known what they were voting for, but we got that. I now have an actual bill with Senator Grassley that does that. And I have a bill to get at what Elizabeth was talking about, which is to stop generics from taking money from big pharmaceuticals to keep their products off the market. The issue here is that there are two pharma lobbyists for every member of Congress.
Thank you, Senator.
They think they own Washington. They don't own me.
Thank you,
and as
Senator
president,
Klobuchar.
I will get this done.
We're going to turn now to child care, a huge expense for many new families and a problem that's especially acute in rural Iowa. We have another question from an Iowa Democratic voter. Mayor Buttigieg, this is for you. Tiffany from Clive writes, as a young mom, I had to quit a job I love because child care costs were taking up 2/3 of my
income.
Look
at the, like, fake concern
many
he has
families
to affect.
Don't have the option of quitting a job because that little bit of income is needed. That leads to families using whatever care
to put
they
on
can
his
find.
Serious,
and sometimes the results are deadly,
empathetic,
as we've seen
and
in
compassionate
Iowa over the last
face.
Few years. How will you prioritize accessing quality,
okay.
affordable
right.
child care in your first 100 days in office?
It makes no sense for child care to cost 2/3
and now the
of
righteous
somebody's
indignation.
Income. We've got to drive it to 7% or below, and zero for those families who are living in poverty. But this is happening to folks at every level of the income spectrum. Meet professionals who sometimes say that they're working in order to be able to afford childcare in order to be able to be working. It makes no sense, and it must change, and we shouldn't be afraid to put federal dollars into making that a reality. Subsidizing childcare and making sure that we are building up a workforce of people who are paid at a decent level to offer early childhood education as well as child care writ large. We can do that. And until we do, this will be one of the biggest drivers of the gender pay gap. Because when somebody like the voter asking the question has to step out of the workforce because of that reason, she is at a disadvantage when she comes back in, and that can affect her pay for the rest of her career.
Senator Warren, your education plan includes tuition-free public college for all, but you impose an income limit for free child care. Why do your plans cover everyone for public college, but not child care and early learning?
No, actually, my plan is universal child care for everyone. It just has some people adding a small payment. But understand this about the plan. I've been there.
That doesn't make
any
sense.
You know, I remember when I was
No, you're wrong. It's universally free. It's just that if you make more money, you have to pay a little bit.
It was hard work.
I
was excited. But it was child care that nearly brought me down. We went through one child care after another, and it just didn't work. If I hadn't been saved by my Aunt B, I was ready to quit my job. And I think about how many women of my generation just got knocked off the track and never got back on. How many of my daughter's generation get knocked off the track and don't get back on. How many mamas and daddies today are getting knocked off the track and never get back on. I have a 2-cent wealth tax so that we can cover child care for all of our children and provide universal pre-K for every 3-year-old and 4-year-old in America, and stop exploiting the people who do this valuable work, largely Black and brown women. We can raise the wages of every child care worker and preschool teacher in America. That's an investment in our babies. That's an investment in their mamas and their daddies, and it's an investment in our teachers and in our economy.
Senator Sanders, will your universal child care program be free for everyone, regardless of income?
Yeah. Let me pick up on this child care thing. Every psychologist in the world knows 0 through 4 are the most important years of human life, intellectually and emotionally. And yet our current child care system is an embarrassment. It is unaffordable. Child care workers are making wages lower than McDonald's workers. We need to fundamentally change priorities in America. We should not be one of the few countries.
Yeah, damn right. How about have the parents raise the kids?
High quality, affordable child care.
Fundamentally change the priorities. Yeah, correct. Women need to stay at home and raise their own kids instead of daycare.
We should not be spending more than the 10 next countries on the military, hundreds of billions of dollars in subsidies for the fossil fuel industry, tax breaks for billionaires, and then tell the moms and dads in this country
Thank you, Senator. Vice President Biden, I'm coming to you now.
That is wrong.
Vice President Biden, infant care is more expensive than in-state public college tuition in more than half the country. Do you support free universal infant care?
It should be free universal infant care.
Infant
but here's the deal.
Care.
You know, I was a single parent, too. When my wife and daughter were killed, my two boys I had to raise. I was a senator, a young senator. I just hadn't been sworn in yet. And I was making $42,000 a year.
Imagine having someone else take care of your infants.
I commuted every single solitary day.
Imagine being a mother and passing off your infant to somebody else.
Excuse me, 250 miles a day, because I could not afford, but for my family, child care. It was beyond my reach to be able to do it. And that's why there's several things we do. When I tripled the amount of money for Title I schools, every child 3, 4, and 5 years old will, in fact, have full schooling. They'll go to school and after-school programs, which will release some of the burden. Secondly, I think we should have an $8,000 tax credit, which would put 7 million women back to work. They could afford to go to work and still care for their children as an $8,000 tax credit. I also believe that we should, in fact, for people who, in fact, are not able to afford any of infant care, to be able to get that care. But Bernie's right. We have to raise the salaries of the people who are doing the care. And I provide for that as well. My time is up, I know, but I'm not going to go over like everybody.
Mayor Buttigieg. Mayor Buttigieg, higher education is another huge expense for families. You oppose free public college for all because you don't want to make it, quote, free for the kids of millionaires. But lots of public services are available to the kids of rich people, like libraries and public schools. Why do you draw the line at public colleges and universities?
Well, it's simple. We expect and hope for everyone to get through 12th grade. It's not the same for college. Now, again, I don't want cost ever to be a barrier to somebody seeking to attend college. And under my plan, it won't be. Matter of fact, for the first 80% of Americans by income, it is free at public colleges. But if you're in that top income bracket, don't get me wrong, I still wish you well. I hope you succeed when you go to college. I just need you to go ahead and pay that tuition, because we could be using those dollars for something else. There is a very real choice about what we do with every single taxpayer dollar that we raise. And we need to be using that to support everybody, whether you go to college or not, making sure that Americans can thrive, investing in infrastructure, and something that hasn't come up very much tonight but deserves a lot of attention, poverty. You know, the Poor People's Campaign is marching on Iowa right now, calling on us to talk about this issue more. They are driven by their faith. I think because even though in politics we're supposed to talk middle class, they know there's no scripture that says, as you've done unto the middle class, so you've done unto me. We got to be making sure that we target our tax dollars
scripture,
where they will
huh?
make the biggest difference. And I don't think subsidizing the children of millionaires and billionaires to pay absolutely zero in tuition of public colleges is the best use of those scarce
Senator
taxpayer
Warren.
Dollars.
So look, the way I think we need to do this is we need a wealth tax in America. We need to ask people with fortunes above $50 million to pay more. And that means that the lowliest millionaire that I would tax under this wealth tax would be paying about $19 million in the first year in taxes. If he wants to send his kid to public university, then I'm okay with that. Because what we really need to talk about is the bigger economic picture here. We need to be willing to put a wealth tax in place, to ask those giant corporations that are not paying to pay, because that's how we build an economy and, for those who want to talk about it, bring down the national debt. You do universal child care and you got a lot of mamas who can go to work, a lot of mamas who can finish their education. We make that
investment.
What is
this mamas and daddies
you
keep saying?
We've got
Thank
a lot
you,
of
Senator.
Who finish
Senator Klobuchar.
An education.
Yeah, you know, I appreciate your thoughts, Elizabeth, but I want to step back. I actually think that some of our colleagues who want free college for all aren't actually thinking big enough. I think what we have to look at is how we connect our education system with our economy. Where are our job openings and what do we need? We are going to have over 1 million openings for home health care workers that we don't know how to fill in the next 10 years. We are going to have open 100,000 jobs for nursing assistants. We, as my union friends know, we're going to have over 70,000 openings for electricians. We're not going to have a shortage of MBAs. We're going to have a shortage of plumbers. So when we look at that, then we step back. Where should our money go? It should go into K through 12. It should go into free 1 and 2 year degrees, like my dad got, like my sister got.
Thank you,
and
Senator
then
Klobuchar.
We should double the Pell Grants because we're going to need 4 year
Thank
degrees.
Thank you, Senator Klobuchar.
So the money
Mr.
goes
Steyer?
Where it should go instead of to rich kids going to college.
Mr. Steyer, as a billionaire, should your children have been entitled to free public college?
No. And let me say this. I was one of the people who talked about a wealth tax almost a year and a half ago. I believe that the income inequality in this country is unbearable, unjust, and unsupportable.
And the Fuentes 2036,
redistribution of wealth
appointed
to the richest Americans from everyone else has to end. And
funny,
I proposed a wealth tax almost a year and a half ago to start to address it and to raise some of the money that we need. But I want to go beyond this and go back to this question about education, because we're talking a lot about college. But in fact, if you talk about the Poor People's Campaign, you have to realize
Esoteric,
that for the youngest
fiddler.
Kids, they are getting an education
imagine
that's relevant
paying
to
POC femoids to raise your children from infancy. Couldn't
we
be me.
We need to redistribute money so every kid has a chance, so we're not legislating inequality for the next generation, and so we actually invest in every single kid, specifically poor kids, specifically black kids, specifically brown kids. We need to start using the money dramatically
In
more.
In other words, fuck white kids, right?
We'll be back with more from CNN's Democratic presidential debate live.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah, we need more. More of this thing. Oh, man.
At CNN, we see the devastation.
This sucks, dude. Sucks. Sheesh. It's just, like, mind-numbing. My eyes just glaze over at a certain point. I just can't even engage. Well, there you have it. That's part two. Part two of the 20th Democratic debate here. And what really is there to say? We had another debate about health care during that segment. And Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are in favor of Medicare for all. And Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg are not. And Joe Biden talked about Obamacare. And this is a very fresh interaction, a very fresh exchange. Pete Buttigieg said, Our plan is very practical, and your plan simply is not. And Elizabeth Warren said, well, your numbers don't add up. My plan actually is practical. We just have to work together. I guess I didn't think of it that way. So that was some hot stuff. That was a really good exchange. Very exciting. Very new. Really interesting. I don't even know what to tell you anymore. Almost all of this is just perfunctory and an exercise. There's really not even a point to it anymore. You know, what I've been saying about the debates from the start is it really only changes the dynamic insofar as somebody shits the bed, right? If you don't mess up, if you don't get embarrassed or humiliated or say the wrong thing, really doesn't matter. Even if you say the right thing, it really doesn't matter. You know, let me pull up the most recent polls. I'll show you what I mean by this. The classic example was Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris, after the first debate back in June, she totally humiliated Joe Biden. And for 4 weeks, her poll numbers went up and then they went down. And Joe Biden's poll numbers went down and then they went up. But after that 4 weeks, they were back where they started. That was in June. And the same is true now. If you look at the polling right now, you still got Joe Biden, number one. You still got Sanders, number two. Warren not far behind, and then Buttigieg. And let's look at the polling for Iowa in particular. Let's see. So on 538, it says Biden is forecasted to win an average of 26% of the vote in Iowa. Let's see. Sanders. What is this? Let me find Sanders. Sanders is forecasted to win 24% of the vote in Iowa. Buttigieg is forecasted to win 21%, and Warren is forecasted to win 17%. These outcomes are almost have no correlation with the debates. This result in Iowa. You know, if you're looking at these simulations from 538, this is like the best data that we have. Biden number one, Sanders number two, Buttigieg three, Warren number four. This has zero correlation with the debates. You know, Joe Biden has had like average performances in every single debate. There hasn't been one debate where he has been stellar or excellent, but he's number one. Same with Sanders. He has been mediocre from the beginning in the debates. He had a couple of good ones, a couple of bad ones. He had a heart attack, number two. Buttigieg, you know, consistent but relatively muted and subdued performances in the debates, and he's number three. Warren, who has maybe had the best average debate performances, you know, she has had, I think, pretty high-quality debate performances on average from the beginning. She's number four. So all of this is to say what we're watching is kind of useless, kind of a useless exercise, obligatory and perfunctory and necessary, but ultimately not something that is changing the race. You know, what really matters is fundraising. What really matters is television, advertisements, things like
Welcome
that.
Welcome back to CNN's Democratic presidential debate. We're live in Des Moines, Agile Debate. We're live in Des Moines, Iowa. Tomorrow, the Speaker Nancy
Let's
Pelosi
see, we've got General Pinochet
against President Trump to the United States Senate.
No, just
launching the third trial of a U.S. president. The Republican-led Senate has signaled that it is likely to acquit him. Nominee. Is it going to be harder to run against President Trump if he's been acquitted and able to claim vindication, especially after what he said about your family?
It's irrelevant. There's no choice but for Nancy Pelosi and the House to move. He has, in fact, committed impeachable offenses. Whether the Senate makes that judgment or not, it's for them to decide. But and by the way, I'm told that, you know, I say we have to unite the country, and it's going to be harder after this trial. It may be, but all these guys are, this Republican Party, they've gone after, savaged my surviving son, gone after me, told lies that your networks and others won't even carry on television because they're flat-out lies. And I did flat-out lies. And I did my job. The question is whether or not he did his job. And it doesn't really matter whether or not he's gone after me. I've got to be in a position that I think about the American people. I can't hold a grudge. I have to be able to not only fight, but also heal. And as President of the United States, that's what I will attempt to do, notwithstanding that there's going to be more division after he's defeated. There's going to be more division after he's
defeated
by me this
next time. Why does it keep skipping like that?
Senator Klobuchar, you're going to be a just start. Do you worry President Trump will be emboldened by acquittal?
No. We have a constitutional duty to do to perform here. And when I look at what the issue is, it's whether or not we're going to be able to have witnesses. We've asked for only four people as witnesses. And if our Republican colleagues won't allow those witnesses, they may as well give the president a crown and a scepter. They may as well make him king. And last time I checked, our country was founded on this idea that we didn't want to be ruled by a king. And I think the best way to think about this trial and what we're facing in this election is a story of a man from Primgar, Iowa. His name was Joseph Welch. He came from humble beginnings, the son of immigrants. He became the Army Counsel, and he was the one that went to the Joseph McCarthy hearings. And when McCarthy was blacklisting people and going after people
because of their
political beliefs
or
supposed political beliefs, there was only one man. Everyone that was afraid, they're afraid of being blacklisted. Joseph Welch, he stood up and looked at McCarthy and said, "Have you no sense of decency, sir? Have you no sense of decency?" This is a decency check on our
decency
government.
Check?
This is a patriotism check. Not only is this trial that, but also
check.
This election. And no matter if you agree with everyone here on the stage, I say this
Thank
to
you,
Americans,
Senator Klobuchar.
You know this is a decency check on this president.
Mr. Steyer, you've spent millions and millions of dollars telling the American people that President Trump deserves to be impeached. Will it have been worth it if he's been impeached but not
hey, John says,
office.
Man, I miss that guy. Always
well,
says,
actually, what I've
done
$1,000 is to organize a petition
me.
Drive
yeah.
of
I miss Andrew
half million
Yang
Americans to sign and say
he was the only one that was tolerable in these
to
debates. He was actually really smart.
And those 8.5 million people have called their Congress people, have emailed their Congress people, and have actually dragged Washington, D.C. to see that, in fact, this is a question of right and wrong and not of political expediency. So if you ask me whether standing up for what's right in America, standing up for the American people and our safety, standing up for the Constitution, whether doing that and trying to bring the truth in front of the American people in televised hearings so we can decide what the truth is for ourselves, if you think that that isn't worth it, then you don't share the idea that I do about what America's about. Standing up for what's right is always worth it, Wolf. And I will never back down from that.
Senator Warren, a Senate trial is expected to keep you in Washington in the weeks leading up to the Iowa caucuses here. How big of a problem is that for you as you're making your closing pitch to voters here?
Look, some things are more important than politics. I took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. It says that no one is above the law. That includes the President of the United States. If we have an impeachment trial, I will be there because it is my responsibility. But understand this. What that impeachment trial is going to show once again to the American people, and something we should all be talking about, is the corruption of this administration. That's what lies at the heart of it. It is about Donald Trump putting Donald Trump first, not the American people, not the interests of the United States of America, not even
America
in helping
first?
Ukraine defend against Russia. It is about him helping himself. That is what we need to do to win this election. We need to draw that distinction and show that as Democrats, we're not going to be the people who are just out for the big corporations, people who want to help themselves, that we are going to be the party that is willing to fight on the side of the people. That's why we're here.
Let's turn now to the climate crisis. Here in Iowa, parts of the state remain underwater after record-breaking flooding began
last spring, racking up an estimated 2 million. I don't want to talk about
Today,
the climate
many
crisis.
Iowans are still displaced
this
from
is
their
always
homes.
The worst part.
Mayor Buttigieg, you've talked about
I don't want to.
Farms and factories that simply can't be moved.
No.
That's why we have to fight climate change with such urgency. Climate change has come to America from coast to coast. Seeing it in Iowa, we've seen it in historic floods in my community. I had to activate our emergency operations center for a once-in-a-millennium flood, then 2 years later had to do the same thing. In Australia, there are literally tornadoes made of fire taking place. This is no longer theoretical, and this is no longer off in the future. We have got to act, yes, to adapt, to make sure our communities are more resilient, to make sure our economy is ready for the consequences that are going to happen.
I don't care.
But we also have to ensure that we don't allow this to get any worse. And if we get it right,
farmers
will be a huge part of the solution. We need to reach out to the very people who have sometimes been made to feel that accepting climate science would be a defeat for them, whether we're talking about farmers or industrial workers in my community, and make clear that we need to enlist them in the national project to do something about it.
To clarify, what do you do about farms and factories that cannot be relocated?
We are going to have to use federal funds to make sure that we are supporting those whose lives will inevitably be impacted further by the increased severity and the increased frequency. And by the way, that is happening to farms, that is happening to factories, and that disproportionately happens to black and brown Americans, which is why equity and environmental justice have to be at the core of
our
plan. Thank you, Mayor Buttigieg. Mr. Steyer, what's your response?
Shut up.
Look, what you're talking about is what's called managed retreat.
Shut up.
It's basically saying we're going to have to move things because this crisis is out of control. And it's unbelievably expensive. And of course, we're going to come to the rescue of Americans who are in trouble. But this is why climate is my number one priority.
I want an Auntie Anne's pretzel right now.
And I'm still shocked that I'm the only person
now.
On the stage who will say this. I would declare a state of emergency on day one on climate. I would do it from the standpoint of environmental justice and make sure we go to the black and brown communities where you can't breathe the air or drink the water that comes out of the tap safely. But I also know this.
I am black and brown.
We're going to create millions of good-paying union
What's
jobs across this
black and
country.
Brown and
it's
blue?
It's going to be the biggest job program in American history.
So NJ Conservatives says, what is a flood in Mayor Pete's community?
And I know that we can do it in a way that makes us healthier, that makes us better
Maxie Bro says, I'm from near parts of Iowa that have been flooded for a while. Those places flood all the time.
We're going to have to make the whole world come along with us, and it's going to have to be priority
one. No, plain, not cinnamon, plain.
Mr. Steyer, to clarify, plain pretzel, no salt. But you made your $1.6 billion in part by investing in coal, oil, and gas. So are you the right messenger on this topic?
Plain.
I absolutely am. Look, we invested in every part of the economy, and over 10 years ago, I realized that there was something going on that had to do with fossil fuels that we had to change.
Check.
So I divested from fossil fuels.
I took the giving pledge to give most of my money away
while I'm alive. And for 12 years, I've been fighting the climate crisis. I've beat oil
companies
in terms of clean air laws.
Ann's
I've stopped
no
fossil fuel plants
no dipping
in Oxnard, California. I fought the Keystone Pipeline. I have a history of over a decade of leading the climate fight successfully.
Thank you, Mr. Steyer.
So actually, yes, I am the person here who has the chops and the history that says I'll make it priority one because I've been doing it for a long time.
Thank you, Mr. Steyer. Senator Warren,
yes.
President Trump is rolling back major environmental rules to allow pipelines and other major infrastructure projects to be built without strict environmental review. Will you restore those protections and in a way that the next president can't overturn?
Yes. Climate change threatens every living thing on this planet, and the urgency of the moment cannot be overstated. I will do everything a president can do all by herself on the first day. I will roll back the environmental changes that Donald Trump is putting in place. I will stop all new drilling
Rudy
and mining on
says this debate
lands
has me ready
and
to
offshore
end,
drilling.
Excuse me, end it all. 4 to 8 years of these people would be unbearable.
I'll bring in the farmers.
Excuse
farmers
me.
Can be
tell
part
me
of the
about
climate
it, right?
Solution.
That's when people are like, you're still on the Trump train? Yeah.
Problem it is.
Yeah, actually.
Mr. Steyer talks about it being problem number one. Understand this. We have known about this climate crisis for decades. Back in the 1990s, we were calling it global warming, but we knew what it was. Democrats and Republicans back then were working together because no one wanted a problem. But you know what happened? The industry came in and said, we can make big money if we keep them divided and make no change. Priority number one has to be taking back our government from the corruption. That is the only way we will make progress on climate, on gun safety, on health care, on
Thank you,
all
Senator
of
Warren.
The issues that
Senator
matter
Klobuchar.
To us.
Some of your competitors on this stage have called for an all-out ban on fracking. You haven't. Why not?
Well, first of all, I would note that I have 100% rating from the League of Conservation Voters, and that is because I have stood tall on every issue that we have talked about up here when it comes to this administration, this Trump administration, trying to reverse environmental protections. I think it is going to lead to so many problems, and one thing that hasn't been raised, by the way, is the rules on methane, which is actually one of the most environmentally dangerous hazards that they have recently embarked on, and I would bring those rules back as well as a number of other ones. When it comes to the issue of fracking, I actually see natural gas as a transition fuel. It's a transition fuel to where we get to carbon neutral. Nearly every one of us has a plan that is very similar, and that is to get to carbon neutral by 2045 to 2050, to get to, by 2030, to a 45% reduction. And I want to add one thing that no one's really answered. When we do this, we have to make sure that we make people whole. And when we put a tax on carbon, which we will do either through cap and trade or through a renewable electricity standard or through a fee on carbon, then we have to make sure the money goes back to the people that will be hurt by it, to help them with their energy bills and to bring jobs to areas that will lose jobs.
Senator Sanders.
Thank you. Let's be clear. If we as a nation do not transform our energy system away from fossil fuel, not by 2050, not by 2040, but unless we lead the world right now, not easy stuff, the planet we are leaving our kids.
Let's see, Rootless is Fuentes 2020, big guy, it's time to announce, since we need more minorities on the Democratic side.
We saw California burning.
Molly says, if these effing people win, I am Fed posting. Yeah, relatable.
To produce the food.
Ty Ball says, when anyone mentions anti-ants, I think of better, simpler times. May God have mercy on us all.
It's a national crisis. We have got to take
on anti-ants, Dairy Queen at the Yorktown Mall, check. Anybody remember?
And tell them.
Yorktown Mall, Auntie Anne's, Dairy Queen.
Than the future of this planet. That's what the Green New Deal
does. What's that Japanese restaurant called?
That's what my legislation does, and that is what we have to do.
Vice President Biden, your response.
My response is, back in 1986, Sarku, I introduced Japan. The first climate change bill, and check PolitiFacts, they said it was a game changer.
Hello.
I've been fighting this
is
for a long
Sarku?
Time.
Is it Sarku, Japan?
The Recovery Act, which put more money into fossil, moving away from fossil fuels to
Sparrow's Pizza.
Solar and wind energy than ever has occurred in the history of America. Look, what we have to do is we have to act right away. And the way we act right away is immediately, if I'm elected president, I'll reinstate all the mileage standards that existed in our administration, which were taken down. That's 12 billion gallons of gasoline, or barrels of gasoline, to be saved immediately. And with regard to those folks who, in fact, are going to be victimized by what's already happened. We should be investing in infrastructure that raises roads, makes sure that we're in a position where we have that every new highway built is a green highway, adding 550,000 charging stations. We can create, and this is where I agree with Tom, we can create millions of good-paying jobs. We're the only country in the world that's ever take great crisis and turn it into great opportunity. And one of the ways to do it is with farmers here in Iowa, by making them the first group in the world to get to net zero emissions, by paying them for planting and absorbing carbon in their fields right away. There's more to say, but I know.
A key part of your mission in this primary is going to be to prove to Democratic voters that you're strong enough to take on Donald Trump. Each of you face unique challenges in doing that. Mayor Buttigieg, you say you've had trouble earning the support of black voters because you're unknown. But you've been campaigning for a year now, and polling shows you with next to no black support, support that you'll need in order to beat Donald Trump. Is it possible that black voters have gotten to know you and have simply decided to choose another candidate?
The black voters who know me best are supporting me. It's why I have the most support in South Bend. It's why among elected black officials in my community who have gotten into this race, by far most of them are supporting me. And now, nationally, I am proud that my campaign is co-chaired by a member of the Congressional Black Caucus, and to have support right here in Iowa from some of the most recognizable black elected leaders, from Mayor Hart of Waterloo to former Representative Barry in Black Hawk County. Now, the biggest mistake we could make is to take black votes for granted, and I never will. The reason I have the support I do is not because any voter thinks that I'm perfect. It's because of the work that we have done facing some of the toughest issues that communities can. Not from the luxury of a debate or a television panel or a committee room, but on the ground. Issues from poverty to justice in policing. And I'm proud to say we've been nationally recognized for our work as a race-informed city on delivering greater economic justice, that we have reduced use of force by leading the region in transparency around the use of force in policing. Of course, there is a much longer way to go in my community and around the country, but I will be a president whose personal commitment is to continue doing this work.
Senator Sanders, you call yourself a Democratic socialist, but more than two-thirds of voters say they are not enthusiastic about voting for a socialist. Doesn't that put your chances of beating Donald Trump at risk?
Nope, not at all. And that is because the campaign that we are going to run will expose the fraudulency of who Donald Trump is. Donald Trump is corrupt, he is a pathological liar, and he is a fraud. Now, when Trump talks about socialism, what he talks about is giving hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks and subsidies to the fossil fuel industry. Donald Trump is a businessman, received $800 million in tax breaks and subsidies to build luxury housing. My democratic socialism says health care is a human right. We're going to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. We're going to make public colleges and universities tuition free. We're going to have a Green New Deal and create up to $20 million saving the planet for our children and our grandchildren. We are going to take on the greed and corruption of the pharmaceutical industry and the insurance company. That is what democratic socialism is about, and that will win this election.
Mr. Steyer, you've spent more than $100 million of your own dollars
on
television ads.
Look at that face.
How do you convince voters that you're more than just your money?
Look, we know how Donald Trump is going to run for president. He's going to run on the economy. He's already told Americans last month in Florida, you don't like me and I don't like you, but you're all going to vote for me because the Democrats are going to destroy the economy in 15 minutes if they get in control. So let's be clear. I started a business by myself in one room. I didn't inherit a penny from my parents. I spent 30 years building that business into a multi-billion dollar international business. Then I walked away from it and took the giving pledge and started organizing coalitions of ordinary Americans to take on unchecked corporate power. But whoever is going to beat Mr. Trump is going to have to beat him on the economy, and I have the experience and the expertise to show that he's a
Edwards
fake there
says, hey, demographics might be going to shit,
look,
but at least
Mayor
the
Pete
least
has 3 years as an
Browns
analyst at McKinsey. I have 30 years of
gays,
international
yeah.
business experience. I can beat Trump on the economy. We're going to have to beat him on the economy, and I look forward to taking him down in the fall on the debate stage.
Mayor Buttigieg.
You demoted me. I was actually an associate, but that's okay. It was not the biggest part of my career, but I am ready to take on this president on the economy because I am from the exact kind of industrial Midwestern community that he pretends to speak to and has proven to turn his back on, and guided that community through a historic transformation when at the beginning of the decade I took office, we were described as a dying city. I'm ready to take on Donald Trump because when he gets to the tough talk and the chest thumping, he'll have to stand next to an American war veteran and explain how he pretended bone spurs made him ineligible to serve. And if he keeps trying to use religion, if a guy like Donald Trump keeps trying to use religion to somehow recruit Christianity into the GOP, I will be standing there not afraid to talk about a different way to answer the call of faith and insist that God does not belong to a political party. I am ready to take
Thank
on
you.
This president on every
Senator Klobuchar, you're pitching yourself as a practical candidate who can get things done. And even tonight, you've dismissed some of the ideas that are offered in this primary as pipe dreams. How are you going to inspire Democratic voters with a message of pragmatism?
Our voters actually all Americans have seen now.
I'm so tired of hearing that guy talk about God.
Somebody like Donald Trump.
Somebody like you, really? Shut the fuck up.
He is someone that literally has
somebody like Donald Trump talks about Christianity. Okay,
dude. And I think what Americans want is something different. I am going to be able to stand across from him on that debate stage and say,
literally married to a man.
The Midwest is not flyover country for me. I live here. I'm going to be able to look at him and say, you've treated these workers and farmers like poker chips. For me, these are my friends and these are my neighbors. I'm going to be able to look at him and say, you know what? You got $413 million over the course of your career. That's how you built your fortune. And what I'm going to say is this. My grandpa worked 1,500 feet underground in the iron ore mine, saved money in a coffee can in the basement to send my dad to a two-year community college. That's my family trust. And when you have been given an opportunity like that, you go into the world not with a sense of entitlement, Donald Trump, but with a sense of obligation.
Senator Warren, what do you say to voters who like your policies, but they're worried they will scare away swing voters you need to win this race in November?
So I was born and raised in Oklahoma. I have three older brothers who are all retired, who are all back there still. And two of my three brothers are Republicans. And sure, there are a lot of things we disagree on, and we can take to our corners and do the Democratic talking points. But the truth is, there's a whole lot we agree on. You know, my brothers are just furious over Chevron and Eli Lilly and Amazon, that our giant corporations make billions of dollars in taxes, make billions of dollars in profits, and pay nothing in taxes. My brothers say, I don't get this. I have to pay my taxes. Somebody has to keep the roads paved and the schools open and pay for our defense. They understand that we have an America right now that's working great for those at the top. It's just not working for anyone else. We have a chance to unite as Democrats, but also with independents and Republicans who are sick of living in a country that's working great for the politicians that are taking the money. It's working great for the lobbyists. It's working great for the corporate executives. It's just not working for everyone else. I'm building the grassroots movement, leading the fight. We're going to make this America work for everyone else. That is how we're going to beat Donald Trump.
Vice President Biden, the eventual nominee will face President Trump, who has no problem mocking people, using insulting nicknames, slinging mud, and telling lies. The debate against him will make tonight's debate look like child's play. Are you prepared for that?
I am prepared for that. Look, I've been the object of his affection now more than anybody else in this state. I've taken all the hits he can deliver, and I'm getting better in the polls, my going up. And by the way, I have overwhelming support from the African-American community, overwhelming, more than everybody else in this operation, number one. Number two, working class people where I come from in Pennsylvania and the places I come from in Delaware, I have great support. I have support across the board, and I'm not worried about taking on Donald Trump at all. And with regard to the economy, I can hardly wait to have that debate with him. Where I come from, the neighborhoods I come from, they're in real trouble. Working-class people and middle-class people. When the middle class does well, working class has a way up, and the wealthy do well. But what's happening now? They're being clobbered. They're being killed. They now have in a situation where if they, the vast majority believe their children will never reach the stage that they read, they've reached an economic security. I love that debate because the American public is getting clobbered. The wealthy are the only ones doing well, period. I'm looking forward to the economic debate.
We'll be right back with more from CNN's Democratic
More? It's 9:58.
Iowa, stay right here.
All right. Well, this thing's almost over. I'll probably come back in a minute, do closing statements, and then we'll be done. And then I'll probably just talk for like 10 minutes, and then that'll be it. Because, I mean, what is there to react to here? It's a carbon copy of the last debate and the debate before that and the debate before that. It is all the same. You know, even down to the same catchphrases, jokes, policy platforms, even the interactions between the candidates are the same on healthcare, on climate, trade, foreign policy. The only thing that was a little bit novel was the Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders dust up, if you could even call it that. It was almost just like a terse exchange. And as I said, I mean, I don't believe this is going to affect anything that happens in the race. Certainly nothing that's going to happen in Iowa. What's going to determine what happens in Iowa in the next 2 weeks is ground game, television, radio, newspaper advertisements, things like that. So, excuse me. I think we are basically... I mean, it doesn't really matter what happened tonight. You know, not, it was completely uneventful. There was not one moment that stands out throughout the whole thing that was exceptionally good or exceptionally bad for any candidate. There was no significant exchange or memorable exchange between the candidates. This debate could have not happened. It would have been the same. And the same can be said for my coverage of this debate. So we endured. Hopefully this is the last one we'll have to watch. I don't know if I'll watch the next one. I think there's one in February, right? Let me double check on that. I'll look up the schedule real quick. Because as we go on with these debates, they are just like each one is less significant than the previous one. Okay, so there's one on February 7th, 4 days after the Iowa caucus. That'll be before the New Hampshire primary. And then there will be one on February 19th. We get two in February. And that'll be before the Nevada primary. And then February 20. Oh, I'm sorry. We have three debates in February. Then we have another one on the 25th in South Carolina before the South Carolina primary. And so that is what we have to look forward to. So I doubt I'm going to be covering the next three debates because these suck, and I don't enjoy them, and you don't enjoy them. You don't enjoy me not enjoying them, so why bother, right? I have to say, though, I was glad that Cory Booker dropped out. I was glad that Kamala dropped out. They were by far the most annoying. Cory Booker in particular just to me is a repulsive human being inside and out. But this Tom Steyer is really competing. I honestly don't even really mind everybody else from like a personal standpoint. Like Joe Biden is not grating on my ears in the same way that Cory Booker is. He's not unbearable, intolerable like Cory Booker. And I think the same is true even for everybody else. As much as I hate Pete Buttigieg, he is eloquent. He is articulate. He is, like, relatively likable, you know what I mean? Not in his actions, not in, like, who he is and what he's about, but hearing him talk. But Tom Steyer is probably the last one on the stage who is just, like, completely unlikable, irredeemable, even if you're being, like, objective, even forgetting the policy positions, you know, their politics. People are saying they don't like Klobuchar. Even Klobuchar, I honestly don't even really mind Klobuchar. I think she's actually kind of likable in a way. I think she's actually more likable than the others, at least to me. Because at least Klobuchar, I feel like she has a much more authentic sort of folksy vibe than Warren. I actually like her more than Warren. Because to me, you know, I think Klobuchar and Warren are both people that like love power and would do anything for power. And their whole affect is basically fake, but... You know, Klobuchar, either she is authentic or she does a better job of faking it. It's like a Midwestern, like, mom type, you know? So, but it looks like we're back.
Debate live from Des Moines, Iowa. Time now for closing statements.
Finally.
You each have 1 minute. Senator Klobuchar, let's begin with you.
Donald Trump thinks this is all about him. I think it's about you. It's not about his resorts or his tweets or even his ego. It is about your health care. It is about your schools. It is about your lives and your future. So if you want to do something about racial justice and immigration reform and climate change and gun safety, we need a candidate who is actually going
racial
to bring people
justice.
With her. I have won every race, every place, every time. I have gotten the highest voter turnout in the country when I've led the ticket. I have passed more bills as the lead Democrat than anyone who's in Congress that's running for president. I believe
that we need a president that's going to look out for you. It is easy to hurl insults. It is easy to draw lines in the sand and sketch out grand ideological sketches that will never see the light of day. What is hard is bringing people together and finding common ground instead of scorched earth. What is hard is the work of governing. So if you are tired of the extremes in our politics and the noise and the nonsense, centrist, you have a home with me. Join me at amyklobuchar.com.
Mr. Steyer.
I know that Iowans are going to caucus within 3 weeks. And I want to tell you how I feel about the American people. Look, I played team sports my entire life. The bond between teammates is deep and emotional and full of love. And as far as I'm concerned, the American people are my teammates. And if there's one thing I will not permit, it is someone to run down the field and kick my teammate in the face. And that is exactly what I've seen over the last 7 years.
Traveling around this country,
seeing these Republicans led by Mr. Trump basically kicking the American people in the face. I am prepared to take on Mr. Trump on the debate stage and take him down on the economy. But I am asking for your support because I know that if I'm going to be a good teammate to you and give you absolutely everything without any compromise, I need the support of you on caucus night so I can turn around and together we can take back this country and together we can save the world.
Mayor Buttigieg.
This is our moment.
Closing statement.
This is our one shot
idiot.
To defeat Donald
fucking
Trump.
Idiot.
And to do it by such a big margin that we send Trumpism into the dustbin of history, too. But we cannot take the risk with so much on the line of trying to confront this president with the same Washington mindset and political warfare that led us to this point. If you were watching this at home and you were exhausted by the spectacle of division and dysfunction, I'm asking you to join me to help turn the page on our politics. If you're seeing the president boast about the Dow Jones, wondering whether any of that will ever get to your kitchen table, join me. If you're a voter of color, feeling taken for granted by politics as usual, join me. If you're used to voting for the other party, but right now cannot look your kids in the eye and explain this president to them, join me. We have a chance to change
these
all of this if we can summon
bad,
the courage to break from
bad.
The past. That is why I am running for president. It is why I am asking you to caucus for me on February 3rd. And I hope that you will go to PeteForAmerica.com and join me in this effort.
Senator Warren.
So much is broken in this country. I sat here in the break and just made notes about many of the things we didn't get to talk about tonight. How the disability community is struggling with true equality. How gun violence and active shooter drills worry every mother in this country. How children are living in poverty and seeing
their life changes
shrink.
I was writing this list, just like a little list, you know, of everyone that didn't get mentioned, okay? And I'd just like to mention everyone. Oh, shut up, shut up.
Climate change that particularly hits black and brown communities. People who are being crushed by student loan debt. Farmers who are barely holding on. People struggling with mental illness. And yet I come here tonight with a heart filled with hope. And it's filled with hope because I see this as our moment in history. Our moment when no one is left on the sidelines. Our moment when we understand that it comes to us to decide the future of this country. Our moment when we build the movement to make real change. Hope and courage. That is how I will make you proud every day as your nominee and as the first woman president of the United States of America.
Not going to happen.
Senator Sanders.
It's been a good debate, but we haven't asked the major question. The major question is, how does it happen in the richest country in the history of the world that half of our people are living paycheck to paycheck, trying to get by $9-$10 an hour? How does it happen that when the top 1% owns more wealth than the bottom 92%, 500,000 people are sleeping out on the streets tonight? How does it happen in this great country? We are the only major nation not to guarantee health care to all. How does it happen that we have a child care system which is dysfunctional, a criminal justice system which is broken and racist, an immigration system that needs reform? This is the moment when we have got to think big, not small. This is the moment where we have got to have the courage to take on the 1%, take on the greed and corruption of the corporate elite, and create an economy and create a government that works for all of us, not just the 1%. Thank you.
Vice President Biden.
Character is on the ballot this time. The American character is on the ballot.
I hate this so much.
Not what Donald Trump is spewing out.
I hate this.
The xenophobia, the racism. That's not who we are as a nation. Everyone in this country is entitled to be treated with respect and dignity.
Man.
Every single solitary person has to have in a position that way. In fact, we treat them with decency. It's about fundamental basic decency. We in the United States of America can put up with, we can overcome 4 years of Donald Trump. But 8 years of Donald Trump will be an absolute disaster and fundamentally change this nation. We have to restore America's soul, as I've said from the moment I announced. It is in jeopardy under this president of the United States. We lead the world when we lead by example, not by our power. We, in fact, have to regain the respect of the world in order to be able to change things. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in a position right now, we have to remember who we are. This is the United States of America. There's not a single thing beyond our capacity to do if we do it together. Let's go do it.
Candidates, thank you very, very much. That concludes the first Democratic presidential debate of 2020. The Iowa caucuses are only 20 days away. Tune in to CNN for continuing coverage of this presidential election.
Bye. Okay. Well, there's your debate or whatever. I think we've said it all. Yeah, I think we're probably just going to end the stream after that. I mean, what more really is there to say that hasn't already been said about the field, about the debates, right, about the positions, the topics? It's more of the same. More of the same that we saw in the last debate, the debate before that, all the way. I mean, we've been doing this now for 7 months, if you can believe it. 7 months of debates. 7 months. So now we have to see what the result is going to be, of course. Iowa caucus, February 3rd. That's when the rubber meets the road, so to speak. That's when the primary begins. Primary season begins February 3rd. Runs up until, I think, like May or June. And Iowa is when we will start to see where the voters are at, because we have polls and we have fundraising and we have all kinds of other metrics, but it doesn't really matter until we start to see what the voters are going to select. And, you know, as I said, the question with this one is, the question is difficult because there is no clear winner like there was in the Republican primary in 2016. You know, in 2016, Donald Trump, like, crushed every single primary. He didn't win the Iowa caucus. Ted Cruz won the Iowa caucus, but, you know, he was by far and away number one in the polls. Nobody came close. The only time I think he ever got overtaken was like 1 week in December or November by Ben Carson, 2015. But aside from that, he was clearly the decisive winner. That doesn't exist right now in this primary. It really is like a four-person race between Biden, Sanders, Buttigieg, and Warren. So we have to see how they perform against each other. Joe Biden's going to win number one, of course. The question is who's going to come in second and third. I think whoever comes in fourth is going to have a hard time. But second and third, he could probably swing. And then, of course, we see what happens in New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina. And the four primary contests, the four initial ones in February, will determine how the rest of the season goes and will ultimately determine the nominee. So we'll have to really be watching on election nights. The next big night is February 3rd that we'll be watching. By the end of that, we should have a pretty good idea of the direction of the race. But, you know, I didn't hear anything really groundbreaking tonight. There were exactly zero memorable moments. There was practically no fighting. I don't remember a single statement that was, as I said, exceptionally inspiring, and nothing that was really a gaffe. So I think the situation in Iowa and nationally will remain unchanged after the debate. I think the coverage will be the same. You know, the only major thing about this debate was not even what happened and who was on the stage, but what did not happen and who was not on the stage, which is to say that Andrew Yang was not on the stage because he did not qualify. Tulsi Gabbard was not on the stage because she did not qualify. You know, and normally I would say that that doesn't matter, but
it does matter because they didn't qualify because they didn't get enough donors. They didn't reach, or I think they did have enough donors, but they didn't reach a high enough percentage in the polling, which shows that the field is winnowing. It's narrowing to a few serious candidates, and Yang not being in the debates does not mean his campaign is over. Him not qualifying because he's not polling high, it means his campaign is probably almost over. You know, it's January now, so if you're not making it, it means you're not going to make it. So we're probably going to see over the next 2 months, the field, I believe, will narrow to these seven and, you know, possibly less than that. Michael Bloomberg will probably have some staying power, even though he didn't qualify, because he got into the race like last month. But that's sort of my projection. I think Joe Biden's probably going to win the nomination, barring anything spectacular, crazy, weird, miraculous, anything like that. Joe Biden's number one in the polls nationally. He's number one in the polls in all the four primary states next month. You know, he's number one in news media coverage. I think he's number two or three in fundraising. He's got the name recognition. He's got the blacks. He's got the so-called blue dogs. And he's polling the best against Trump. So, you know, to me, it's kind of like case closed at this point. And we're really seeing competition between Sanders, Warren, and Buttigieg for who might be able to take a shot, you know, once the field narrows to like one or two or one or three or something like that. You know, the field narrows rather to two or three candidates. The fight is between, you know, who might be that candidate that could challenge him for the top spot. Or conversely, another way to think of it is who will then be his vice president. You know, whoever comes in second place will probably end up vice president. Maybe it'll be Warren. You know, maybe it'll be Harris. Who knows, right? But to me, that's how I see the race going down. I think we've seen that this race has gone on for a year and nobody's been able to unseat him or seriously challenge him. Nobody's had like a week where they're number one nationally. Nobody's had a month where they're number one in any of these early primary states. So I just look at the numbers. I look at the numbers. I look at the mood in the Democratic Party. It seems to me like Joe Biden gets a nomination. And the guy's a fucking idiot. You know, he's a terrible candidate. The only thing that he has going for him is demographics, you know, that in 2020, you're going to have a lot more Generation Z and millennial voters. I think it's mostly Generation Z are contributing to the Democratic base. And you're going to have a lot less silent generation voters. So that age demographic shift is happening. There's also a racial demographic shift happening. If you see, like, for example, Puerto Rican refugees, and you see this with prisoners, felons that are voting in like Kentucky and Florida. The First Step Act has released a lot of Democrats, I'm sure. So, you know, the demographic and of course, immigration. So all these different demographic trends favor Democrats, making it such that even if they have a bad candidate, they still are in it. You know, they still are competitive and it'll still be tough for Trump. The states to watch are going to be Wisconsin, Arizona, Florida. Those are the key ones. But there are a lot of states in play. You know, I think in play are Nevada, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, New Hampshire, Virginia, North Carolina. Virginia probably not so much. But the ones to watch are going to be Florida, Wisconsin, and Arizona. In my opinion, those are going to be sort of the make or break states there. And it's going to come down to Trump versus Joe Biden. That is going to be a whole thing in itself, which we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But that's how I predict the next 6 months are going to go, you know, between now and the conventions in the summer, as I think Joe Biden's probably going to come away with it unless a serious challenger arises towards the end of the primary season. You know, maybe one candidate consolidates the opposition against Joe Biden. Maybe it's Warren, for example. Maybe it's Sanders. They consolidate the progressive bloc. You would imagine that if Sanders drops out, then Warren would subsume his base and vice versa. And then maybe they'd be able to challenge Joe Biden in some of these states. Right now, the progressive vote is split and the establishment sort of electability crowd is consolidated under Biden. So I could see that being a scenario where maybe Warren or Sanders could pull ahead. But barring that from happening, I think Joe Biden has a pretty clear shot. And then it's him versus Trump. So that's a debate. Like I said, not like the debate has anything to do with any of that because it sucked and nothing happened. But that was a debate tonight. I hope it, you know, you enjoyed it, I guess. I hope I don't know. I don't enjoy these. I really don't enjoy these things. Not like a bit. It's not a joke. I mean, I just hate these things. It's fake. It's not real. It's political theater. We all know that. You know, people are watching these things and giving like serious commentary. It's all a charade. It's all a big show. We know that. You know that. It's a big joke. So it's a bad joke. So I hope you enjoyed. But that's probably going to do it for us tonight. I know you're probably sick of talking about it. Frankly, I'm sick of talking about it. I'm sick of hearing about all this shit. So that's our debate. We're going to drop the chest now. We'll open the chest for everybody in here. We're dropping it. We're releasing the chest. Let me see. Do I have any other like Ninja Genies to read? I don't think so. Yeah. So looks like we're good on that front. Let me let the chest disperse. But hey, thanks for watching. I hope you enjoyed. You know, I hope it was more enjoyable than watching the debate by itself. Thank you for the lemons and everything. I guess I could just do like my America First outro, right? I mean, that's going to do it for us. Remember to subscribe to my channel here. Follow me here. Don't subscribe. Follow my channel here. If you're not following me, be sure to click the follow button. Also, you know, check me out on Telegram. t.me/NickJFuentes1 is the link. t.me/NickJFuentes1. Also, join my email list, NicholasJFuentes.com. Obviously, we're on DLive for America First the whole week. The show is exclusively on DLive, not on YouTube, because I am penalized by YouTube right now. I have a strike on my channel, so no streaming on YouTube until Monday. So this whole week, we're going to be on DLive. Just a reminder, remember, we are on the air Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My name is Nicholas J. Fuentes. As always, thank you for watching. Thanks to everybody that's donated. Ninja Genies, lemons, ice creams, Ninjets. Special shout out to Cosmic Craft for the Ninjet. Our top contributors here are Cosmic. Special shout out to our top contributors, Cosmic Craft, Maxi Bro, and Monochrome Hysteria. Thank you guys in particular, but thanks to everybody that donated lemons. Thanks to everybody that watches the show. We love you. And I will see you tomorrow at our regular time, 7 o'clock Central, with the show on DLive. So follow me here for notifications. But until then, have a great rest of your evening.